have a little success with Marechal because he's not overpowering.
If you like numbers, we can tell you that Marechal was 1-1 with the Pirates this year. Remember, they're in the National League East, so he didn't get that many starts. He had 4 starts against them. Lifetime, he is a little better than 2.5-1 against Pittsburgh. He's beaten them 25 times and lost to them 10. Bob Johnson wound up 0-1 against the Giants. He worked 19 2/3 innings, allowed 23 hits, which once you see more hits than innings pitched, you know he's had some troubles. And he allowed 9 earned runs, so his earned run average is over 4. So Johnson has not been very successful against the Giants in the regular season, and we'll see how he goes today. Bob will be pitching to Ken Henderson, the left fielder, then Tito Fuentes, the second baseman, and Willie Mays in center field. And right-hander Bob Johnson makes his first pitch and works it low, ball 1-0. Just to refresh our memory, Bob, with Johnson pitching now, you might tell us a little bit about Kenny Henderson as a left-handed batter. He takes a strike.
Right. I like to throw Henderson inside. He's a big fellow. He likes to get his arms out over the plate. And if you don't really hit that outside corner, he can really hurt you. So I would rather pitch him inside.
1-1 to count to Kenny Henderson. Bob Johnson into the windup, and the right-handed change is grounded to the right side. Dave Cash up with it easily and throws him out. One away. That's not bad when you can throw hard and slip in that changeup like that, Bob.
That's right. Most of the time, a fellow like Nolan Ryan, who throws extremely hard, when he throws a changeup, you're completely off balance, and you just don't have good success with it.
Here's Tito Fuentes, and I assume what you were saying about Tito from the first day feels whole too. Hitting left-handed, you're throwing hard stuff away.
Most little guys like that, he can't hit the ball out of the park, and you got to throw him hard stuff up and away. Let him hit it.
The fastball missed to him, ball 1-0. Manny Sanguin behind the plate. Bob Robertson, Dave Cash, Jackie Hernandez, and Richie Hebner in the infield. Wilbur Stargell, Al Oliver, and Roberto Clemente in the outfield. Fly ball to right field. Right there is Clemente in the shade, waiting for it, and makes the catch. 2 down. Willie Mays coming up. Bob, again, to refresh everybody's memory right now, briefly about Mays.
Willie is a type of guy that likes to get his arms out over the plate also. I don't like to pitch him inside. I will come up and in on him maybe the first time up and get him back off the plate. Then I like to go away with him, keep the ball down. A lot of pitchers like to pitch him inside. I can't quite understand that.
Mays waiting with 2 out in the first inning, and Bob Johnson delivers in the dirt. Ball 1 and away. Nice ball flight, 340 down each line, 385 to left center and right center, 410 to straightaway centers. Brand new ballpark, Three River Stadium. Mays now backs out for the moment for timeout. 1-0 to Willie. 2 out in the first inning, just the start of the ball game. No score. We've already had a surprise. Nelson Bryles unable to make it, and Bob Johnson's next one to strike. 1-1. Bob Johnson is 28 years old. He's big, 6'4", 220. He's a boy from Illinois who makes his home in Kansas. And he went to Bradley University. In the dirt with his breaking ball, 2-1 the count.
You notice Willie Mays pulls away from the plate quite a bit, and this is one of the reasons why I would just hate to throw him inside.
Here's a 2-1 pitch, fastball over strike 2. It is interesting and a bit of irony. Nelson Bryles unable to pitch today in a big game because of a leg injury. Bob Johnson almost had his career come to a halt because of a leg injury. He broke his ankle in a motorcycle accident in 1967, and 2 doctors recommended amputation of the leg. Mays takes in the dirt, ball 3. Fortunately for Bob, the broken ankle healed, and healed well enough for him to be a professional athlete. So he got away from a most serious leg injury, and he's pitching a most important game because of a leg injury to teammate Nelson Bryles. Mays at the plate, 2 down. No score, first inning. Willie McCovey on deck. And here comes Johnson, and it's swung out and missed, strike 3.
That pitch seems to be wiggling a little bit. It was a hard fastball up and away, and Willie just doesn't get around on that good fastball anymore.
Yeah, it really sailed on him, so down he goes. Giants are gone in order at the end of half an inning. Giants nothing, Pirates coming up.
I'm a Girl Scout. I didn't have much to do. Or at least I didn't think I did. But scouting changed all that.
She always gets me things that, you know, like sometimes she never heard of.
You don't have to be goody goody now to maintain the Girl Scout energy, because I'm not one of the most ungoody goody girls in my group, and I made first class last Saturday. The Girl Scout image is changing.
The Girl Scout, it's more than just selling cookies.
Bottom of the first inning at Three River Stadium, Vin Scully along with Bob Gibson, Juan Marichal turning up to dig deep, the infield for the Giants, Willie McCovey and Tito Fuentes, Chris Spire at short and Alan Gallagher at third. Ken Henderson is in left. Willie Mays in center. Bobby Bonds returns to the starting lineup in right. Marichal will be ready to pitch to Dave Cash, Richie Hebner, and Roberto Clemente. Bob, when the Cardinals play against Marichal, do you bunt much against them or try to?
No, we don't. Fortunately, we've had a lot of success against Marichal, and for 2 or 3 years, he missed us. He just didn't pitch against us at all, but our ball club has handled him pretty well.
You would think, at least when you first see Marichal twist and turn and complain off the mound, that he would be susceptible to a bunt, but evidently, with all of his other gifts, he's not a bad fielding pitcher.
Right, I think he's an excellent fielder.
Dave Cash, right-hand hitting second baseman, will check in now. Marichal, a high kick, and the first pitch is lifted to right field, and Bobby Bonds is right there, backs up a couple of steps, and makes the catch. So one pitch and one away. I guess if you are a control pitcher of the stature of Marichal, there's a great deal of first ball hitting.
That's right. They know that he's not going to walk you. He's going to be around the plate somewhere, so there's really no reason for you to take off of him. You just got to go after him.
Richie Hebner, left-hand hitting third baseman coming up. I know a couple of times the Dodgers tried to experiment with Marichal. They would make him wait. They felt that it upset him if you made him pitch slowly. Here's a pitch to Hebner, low ball one. In other words, the hitter would take his time before he got in the box. He would back out on him once or twice. He would do everything possible to slow him down. And you loved to pitch in a hurry. Wouldn't that get you upset?
When I was younger, it used to affect me. I would just get angry and I'd strike the guy out with 3 pitches instead of 4.
Or knock him down. The pitch is strike and the count 1-1. Of course, we mentioned the Dodgers did not have much success with him, no matter what they tried. But they did feel that his temperament was mussed up a little bit if they slowed him down. The 1-1 pitch to Hebner, swung on and missed, breaking ball in the count 1-2.
You know, when you pitch fast like that, it's really a habit. There's nothing else involved. And if the guy makes you wait, I don't think it really affects you mentally. It just breaks up your rhythm a little bit. But if you're a pretty good pitcher, you'll bounce back from it.
Here's the 1-2 pitch to Hebner. He holds up on a pitch in the dirt, ball two. Of course, again, the Dodgers were being beaten by him so much that anything was worth the gamble. Marichal doesn't move around on the rubber very much either, and I guess you don't.
No, Marichal pitches from the, what I would consider, I guess, the looking at him, the right-hand corner. I pitch from the left-hand corner. It's kind of strange that you would move all the way to the opposite corner.
Here's a 2-2 pitch to Richie Hebner. Fastball got him looking. He had to be guessing then, didn't he?
Oh, probably. You find a lot of those left-hand hitters come up there, and they know that you have a good fastball. You like to come in on them, and if you can hit that outside corner with a breaking ball or something, they'll take it every time.
Well, here is Roberto Clemente with 2 down in the first inning and no score. Clemente so far in the championship series, this being the third game, Clemente is 3-for-9. The leading hitters for the Bucks would be Cash with 5 hits and Bob Robertson, who has a half a dozen hits. So Clemente, great right fielder against Juan Marichal. Marichal already didn't kick high, and that time over for a strike with a fastball. He varies his kick.
Yes, that was a sidearm pitch, and usually when he comes sidearm, it's hard to get the leg up over your head the way he likes to throw.
Here's a strike one pitch on the way, over the top, and he missed outside with it, 1-1. I'm wondering if you're a hitter and you see that leg, that it doesn't come up very high, you can almost expect it, or does he vary that too?
Well, no, you can tell when he's going to throw his sidearm, and actually,
through experience, I don't think his sidearm pitch is very good.
1-1 pitch is over at the knees for strike 1-2. In fact, the only real flaw, the bad habit that Marichal has, he gets lazy with his screwball, and he will suddenly drop his arm. And when he drops his arm and throws the screwball, it doesn't work. He's got to get way up on top. Here's the 1-2 pitch to Roberto Clemente, over the top, and he missed low with it. Ball two. Larry Jansen, the pitching coach of the Giants, was saying that there's a difference, like everybody else's time goes by with Marichal. He doesn't throw as hard. His control is not quite as great as it was. The 2-2 pitch. Sidearmer reached for and hit up the middle, and that's a typical Clemente base hit. It looked like he was giving on the sidearm pitch, and yet he hit the ball away.
Yes, I think his reason for that was it wasn't a real hard pitch, and he had a chance to recover after he gave away.
Well, if there's a hungry hitter in this series, it has to be the fellow who gets a round of applause right now, Wilbur Stargell. But he has not lost his good nature. He's a big, gentle soul, except if you have to make your life pitching baseballs by him. Stargell, as he checks in, does not have a hit in the championship series. He's 0-9, but he hit 48 home runs during the regular season. Well, Clemente at first with two out, 20s is playing a short right field on Stargell. And Marichal has a look over and decides to drive Clemente back. Juan, have a pretty good move to first?
Yes, he does. I was thinking about Stargell up there. I don't know how he hits off of Marichal, but I would imagine with the good off-speed pitches that he doesn't do too well.
Fastball down and away just to show it to him. One ball and no strike. Do you think that Marichal, when he wants to try and really get him, he'd be off-speeding him?
Yes, Willie Stargell is basically a fastball hitter, and I think Juan's got that good screwball that can go away from him.
Here's a 1-0 pitch on the way. He got a strike in the count 1-1. Marichal bouncing off the mound. You know, Marichal, in the closing last 10 days or 2 weeks of the season, was pitching a big game in Cincinnati, and while covering a play at first base, he collided with Lee May, and that's not a man to collide with, and May knocked him spinning. He hurt his right hip. The 1-1 pitch. Stargell takes in the dirt. It gets away from deep. Down to second base goes Clemente, makes the turn, and Deep walks the ball back to the infield. It'll be a wild pitch.
You know, the other day we were talking about the distance from home plate to the grandstand in San Francisco. Now, if that ball had gotten by in San Francisco, gotten by the catcher, he possibly could have gone on to third base.
And in the old days, in old Ford Field here in Pittsburgh, it was a catcher's nightmare. At one time in Pittsburgh, there was, from home plate to the backstop, are you ready, 120 feet. That's quite a while ago in the early 30s. But you can imagine the nightmares the catchers had here.
You probably had to take one of the outfielders and put him behind the catcher.
Right. Two down now. There's a break for the Pirates. A two-out single and a wild pitch sends Clemente to second. And Wilbur Stargell trying to pick him up with a count 2-1. Marichal, a long look at deep. Juan hands it aside. Now at the belt. Has a look back at Clemente. Checks him again. And the 2-1 pitch to Stargell on the outside corner. Stargell didn't think so, and the count 2-2. By the way, Lee Wire, the tallest umpire in the league, is behind the plate. Andy Olson on the line at first. Dick Stello at second. Dave Davidson at third. And the senior umpire, Tom Gorman, is on the left field foul line. Jack Crawford is on the right field foul line. Here's a 2-2 pitch instead of bluff by Marichal. Sends Clemente back to the bag. On deck, another left-hand hitter, Al Oliver. Marichal shaking his hands at deep. As if to say, hold it a minute. Let me see the signs again. 2-2 to count to Stargell. Fire trying to bird dog Clemente. Plug up the middle and cut down his lead. Now, he figures to be making Stargell wait, right, Bob?
Yes. I think the fans are unhappy because actually you get something like 25 seconds to deliver a ball, and he probably took a little more than that.
Now he's ready. Drops his head a moment. Now comes over the top and is a high fly ball into shallow left field. Henderson comes in and over and makes the catch for the out. For Pirates, no runs, one hit. A man left, and at the end of an inning, no score.
Say, all of you guys and gals out there, the best way to enjoy a baseball broadcast is sitting in a comfortable recliner chair. Do you know who has one of New York's largest selections of recliners? It's Siemens Furniture, of course. At Siemens, you'll find recliners from America's finest manufacturers. You choose from rugged leather-like vinyls, rich fabrics, many Scotchgard treated to prevent soil, and even elegant velvet. You're sure to please the decorator in your home by selecting from Italian, Spanish Provincial, Mediterranean, and classic overstuffed traditional. After the game, visit one of Siemens Furniture showrooms in Brooklyn, in Queens, or Long Island. Call them, the number 493-6630 for the Siemens nearest you. That's 493-6630. Unicard, Bank AmeriCard, and MasterCharge accepted. At Siemens low prices, you'll always be sitting pretty. On a recliner, of course.
No score at the end of an inning here at Three Rivers Stadium in Pittsburgh. Vin Scully along with Bob Gibson, and the Giants will be sending up Willie McCovey, Bobby Barnes, and Dick Deese. I'd like to get back to one point that occurred there in that first inning where Marischal evidently made Stargill hang up there at the plate, and Wilbur tried to wait him back out. Is that a successful ploy usually? Does it upset most hitters if you just make them stand there at the plate?
I don't think it upsets most hitters, but it is effective on a guy like Stargill. He swings that bat around, he's really getting his timing, and if you can make him wait, he's got to step out of there.
Johnson delivers and gets a strike to McCovey. Looked like a slider, in around the hands and got the inside part of the plate. Would you pitch McCovey the same way here in this ballpark as you would if you had to pitch to him in Candlestick?
Yes, I wouldn't change my way of pitching to him regardless of where I played.
Strike one pitch to McCovey. Inside under the hand. 1-1. Is that the accepted manner? Stay inside on him?
Yes. He's another one of those big guys that like to get his arms out over the plate. And you have to keep him tied up inside, either with sliders or a hard fastball.
One ball and one strike to count to McCovey. Johnson off speed strike. Little slider again. 1-2. And McCovey backs out. I guess the key to the hitter then, who likes to get his arms extended, really would be his hips. He's got to get them out of the way in a hurry.
Exactly.
Bobby Barnes on deck. No score. Second inning. The 1-2 pitch. McCovey whacks it into left center field, and Johnson, I think, tried to fool him with location that time.
Yes, he went away with a fastball, and of course, he didn't hit the ball that hard, but nevertheless, he didn't stick with his game plan, I'm sure. But you got to remember that sometimes you have to change your way of pitching to some of these guys because they're professionals also, and they're going to adjust to the way you're pitching them.
Well, here's Bobby Barnes, and I think Bobby summed up his own particular case. He said he was going to play today. He was going to give 100% with a 90% body. So Bobby at the plate, and they're not going to hold McCovey. They don't figure that he's going to do any running. Robertson back of him and near the bag. The pitch to Barnes, a strike. We really haven't had much of a chance to find out about Bobby. How would you pitch to him, Bob?
He's another one of those hitters you have to stay inside. He's got a lot of power to right field. And if you get that ball up and over the plate, he can hit it out in right field. So you have to keep it in on him also with breaking balls away.
Here's a strike one pitch on the way. Fouled at the plate, 0-2. What about the high and low? Does it make much difference? Is it more important just to be inside than high and low?
Oh, no, there's a lot of difference. If you throw him up and away, he can hit the ball out of the park. If you get it, say, 5 or 6 inches lower than that, he'll miss it completely. So the high and low means an awful lot in getting these guys out.
And what about inside? Same way?
Inside, you usually want to get the ball up and in. Never throw it down and in.
The breaking ball, line drive. He hit it off the end of the bat over the head of Hebner and down the line. McCovey to second base holding. Neither ball really hit, but Johnson finds himself in trouble. And we'll pause now for station identification. This is the National League Championship Series.
This is Dialogue Radio 57, Strauss Communications, WNCA, New York. The voice of New York.
Two on and nobody out. Dick Deese, the batter. Bob, let's conclude that thought about you said, but not down and in. Why not?
Well, usually, if you can tie a guy up with the ball up and in, the easiest thing in the world for him to do is just to drop that bat down by his knee. He doesn't even have to swing at it very hard, and he can hit it out of the ballpark. So you try not to throw anybody down and in.
Double play man at the play, Dick Deese, and the first one backhanded in the dirt by Sanguin, who goes out to talk to his pitcher. One ball and no strike. Deese, of course, a good hitter with a lot of power, but at the same time, he can put the brakes to an inning if he hits one on the ground or an infielder. Deese followed by Alan Gallagher. The Giants with Bobby Barnes at first, Willie McCovey at second. Down in the Pirate bullpen, they begin to loosen up Bruce Keeson. So Keeson, a tall, lean right-hander, throwing back a Bob Johnson. Deep at the plate, one ball and no strike. No score, second inning. The next one in the dirt. So apparently he's trying to keep the ball down on deep to get him to hit on the ground. How about?
Yes, usually in a situation where you have a guy that's not very fast, you try throwing sinker balls and get him to hit the ball on the ground. But here he's getting in trouble, and he's going to have to come in there now.
Big pitch, and Deets has already had a look. If you're pitching now, do you think he's hitting?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Here's a 2-0 pitch to Deets, and he takes a look, and it's high. Ball three. So Bob Johnson, who was the last-minute starter for the injured Nelson Bryles, is up to his hips in trouble. 3-0 to count to Deets. The odds, I guess, are very much against him swinging 3-0.
Right, he just about has to take this pitch.
Johnson leading Sanguian. Two on, nobody out. The right-hander delivers, and the fastball down the pipe. 3-1. Again, he looks at John McNamara. Chances are he's hitting 3-1.
Yes, I would imagine with consideration of the next two guys coming up behind him, he's probably hitting on this pitch.
Of course, it doesn't mean he's naturally swinging if he doesn't like the strike that he gets.
Right, he's going to look for a ball in a certain zone.
3-1, the count is deep. Johnson delivers, and it's taken. Good pitch on the outside corner. Strike two. And Dick appears to be a little angry, so he probably took that because he thought it was ball four.
Or either it was out of his zone he was looking for.
Right. He's back up there on a full count. Deets, during the year, struck out 80 times in 450 at-bats, or a little less than a sixth of the time. Runners do not go, and the pitcher swung on and missed, strike three.
He didn't have much of a swing on that. No, I think he was more or less protecting the plate there than anything else, and he may have even swung at a ball a little bit high.
It doesn't make much sense, you know, when you have the stock that Deets has to take a swing where you're just trying to protect the plate. I mean, if you're going to swing, he might as well go for the down.
Well, a lot of things happen up there at the plate. You swing at a pitch that you took time before, the umpire will call a ball that you didn't think was a strike, and then so he'll swing at the next pitch regardless of where it is. You just can't tell what was going through his mind.
That 3-1 pitch might have really set him up to strike out, the one he didn't like. Here's Gallagher, two on, one out, second inning, no score. Johnson pitches down and away, ball one. Refresh us again now. How would you pitch Gallagher?
Alan Gallagher is a guy that likes the ball up and away. He hit line drives to right field, and I think basically you have to keep the ball in on him. And what you would want to do here is to try to make him pull the ball, throw him the off-speed pitch or something.
One thing, if he hits a line drive base hit to right field, McCovey's not going to score on it. Not with Clemente out there. He hits a foul down the right field line, and the count 1-1.
You know, when you have a guy like Gallagher who is known to hit the ball to right field, then the way to pitch him is to try to make him pull if you possibly can, and they usually don't like to pull the ball.
Now, is it easier to go the other way with a pitch outside, I would assume?
I think the easiest pitch to go the other way is one inside.
Just wait longer on it.
Yes, the ball outside, usually when you hit it, it'll go up into the stand foul.
1-1 the count to Alan Gallagher. Willie McCovey at second, Bobby Barnes at first. One out in the second inning, no score. Bob Johnson delivers, gets another strike. That's a knee. I'll say one thing, he's meeting the challenge head on. Gallagher backs out for a moment, now up at the plate again. Chris Fire on deck. I think he'd give Marischal a couple of runs to work with. He's awfully tough. One ball and two strikes to Alan Gallagher. Bruce Keeson throwing back of Bob Johnson in the Pirate bullpen. In case you joined us late, Nelson Bryles with a sore right leg took his warm-ups and couldn't make it. So Johnson is out there in his stead, and he's trying to get out of the second inning. He's making Gallagher hang, and Sanguian goes out. Though in this instance, since Sanguian goes out, maybe they're just having trouble on the signs, Bob.
Possibly. He's probably getting together with the pitch that he wants to throw here.
All right, Sanguian comes back. The best laid plans of mice and men. I'll bet you Don Osborne, the pitching coach of the Pirates, spent 20 minutes talking to Manny Sanguian and Nelson Bryles, how they were going to pitch, and Bryles never made it to the mound. 1-2 to Alan Gallagher. Johnson at the belt now. Big right-hander ready. Comes to the plate, and it's low. Ball two. He didn't miss by much, and he barely stopped. He's not worrying about a double steal, but boy, he just did shave that boss with a quick pitch. 2-2 to Alan Gallagher. No score, second inning. The Giants, by the way, won 9 of 12 from the Pirates in the regular season. They won 4 of the 6 here at Ford Field. Old Ford Field, now, of course, is better known Three River Stadium in Pittsburgh. 2-2 pitch to Gallagher on the hands. A one hopper hit down to Cash. He sees Hernandez. He throws to Robertson. And Bob drops it as he tried to dig it out of the dirt. Well, Johnson could make a better pitch. He hit him on the fifth and looked like a double play ball. So first and third with two out. No error on the play. Chris Fire, the batter. By the way, Bob, the parking turf or the AstroTurf here in relation to the Candlestick, how would you describe it?
Well, this is a lot different. If you were to look at this AstroTurf here, or the tartan turf, it would look more like a shaved piece of carpet that you would have in your living room, whereas in San Francisco or in St. Louis, you have a plastic type turf, which is has a lot more spring in it. But I think that this field here is probably the fastest field in the league.
All right, here's Chris Fire. Two down, runners at first and third. And Johnson pitch spotted in the air, foul and out of play. No squeeze, of course, with two out, but Fire trying to get his man in anyway, and he's not a muscle hitter anyway. 0-1 the count. Fire, during the regular year, hit 235, and in this championship, he is 4-for-6. So he's been wearing the Pirates staff out. Right-hand batting. Gallagher at first, not much of a threat to go. Marischal, the pitcher, on deck. No score, two out in the second inning. Johnson ready, delivers, and it's swung on and missed. Looked like he was trying to take him to right field.
I think he just was trying to catch up with that ball. It was buying before he could hit it.
Fire back up there in the count 0-2. Robert Dale Johnson. 6'4", 220-pounder, trying to get out of the second inning. No score. The strike two pitch coming up. Fastball, got him looking. Strike three, call.
That's quite a bit of pitching for Johnson. If he had any wobbles about his confidence, that would short up, I would guess. Well, he's been around a little bit, and he knows how to pitch, and the basic thing is, with a guy who knows how to pitch, is if you can get your pitches where you want to, you're all right.
Well, the Giants are gone despite two hits, and at the end of an inning and a half, no score.
Hello?
Yes, sir. May I help you?
Isn't this 2286 Flatbush Avenue?
It certainly is. Kings Plaza American Motors Corporation at your service.
Kings Plaza American Motors? But I thought this was a lumber yard.
Oh, it was. But now 2286 Flatbush Avenue is Kings Plaza American Motors, with a big new showroom and all the great new American Motors cars.
Hey, Walt, where do you want this gremlin?
Excuse me.
Between the Hornet and that javelin over there.
Beautiful, aren't they, sir? And we've got the whole range between slick little subcompact gremlins to the roomiest, most luxurious ambassadors.
Hey, Walt, where's the Matador go?
Over there by the ambassador. Big showroom, isn't it, sir? And you know our service department is four times this size? And every car we sell is backed by the sensational American Motors Buyer's Protection Plan. Now, what can we do for you, sir?
Well, could you tell me where I could get about a dozen 2x4s?
Bottom of the second inning from Three Rivers Stadium in Pittsburgh. Ben Scully along with Bob Gibson. Bob, this ballpark is right down by the water, the confluence of the three famous rivers, the Allegheny, Monongahela, and Ohio. Does the ball carry well here?
Yes, most of the places out here, out east, the ball carries quite well. I would rather pitch in a place like San Francisco or in Los Angeles. The air is heavy there, and in San Francisco, the wind blows so hard that you can hardly hit one out in left field anyway.
Al Oliver, left-hand hitting center fielder, in there against Marischal. So Oliver starts it off. Ollie is 2-for-5 in the series. He takes off-speed and away, ball 1-0. Oliver in the regular season hit 282.
Oliver is another one of those hitters where you have to throw the ball inside. He stands a long ways from the plate, but he goes in real well.
Here's the 1-0 pitch on the way. Marischal, a high kick, and it swung on and missed. Oliver losing his helmet in the process, 1-1. Do you judge a batter's strength and weakness in his relationship to home plate? If he stands far away, does that mean he wants you to keep the ball away from him?
No, you can't really tell unless you happen to know the hitter.
come back into Marischal. He one hops it and throws to first for the out. So Oliver's out, one away. Here's the guy who tore up Candlestick the other day with three home runs and a double, Bob Robertson. Robertson is the leading hitter in the series. He has six hits in nine at-bats. No one has six. Teammate Dave Cash has five. Fire leads the Giants in hits with four. Robertson, big right-hand batter. Marischal into the windup, low kick, so a sidearmer swung on and missed, 0-1. Does Robertson give when you sidearm him, Bob?
No, he doesn't. I think he was completely fooled on that pitch there, but he doesn't give at all.
0-1 the count. Marischal, another low kick, so a sidearmer fouled away in the count 0-2. No balls and two strikes to Bob Robertson. One out in the second inning, no score. The big story so far, the announced starting pitcher for the Pirates, Nelson Bryles, unable to make it with his sore right leg. Bob Johnson has struck out three men in two innings and got out of a second inning jam. Strike two pitch to Bob Robertson. Taken just outside. Ball one, 1-2. Manny Sanguian on deck. I'd like to say hello to some stations along our network. To the good folks at KVEC in San Luis Obispo in California. WAVS in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Robinson half playing, but he checks in the pitch outside. 2-2. And also to station WAOV in Vincennes, Indiana. Two and two to Bob Robertson. One out, second inning, no score. Marischal reading deep. On to the windup, and here he comes. Everything's sidearm, and that one is fouled back of the plate. Deep, a late start. He lost the ball, but even though he picked it up, it's behind the screen, so it's still 2-2. Marischal with a new ball. What about pitchers and baseball? They're bread and butter. I've always thought that a pitcher has fingertips as sensitive as a safe cracker. Is there a certain kind of a ball, a feel of a ball that you like?
Oh, yes. Ordinarily, the seams on the ball are pretty smooth. They're right even with the surface of the ball. Sometimes the strings are just a little bit higher. And this year, we've had problems with a ball that's even a little bit bigger. And a matter of a quarter of an inch, it feels like a basketball.
Here's a 2-2 pitch to Bob Robertson. Fastball, whack to center. Back goes Mays. Away back. He's gone.
I think you'll see many home runs off of this guy.
Well, you know what's so funny? He leads the Giants stab in home runs allowed. That's the 28th home run that Marischal has given up this year. So apparently he's not quite as fast as he used to be. And the only thing that amazed me was Robertson didn't give, and he sidearmed in every pitch. He's over the top to Sanguian for a strike. And I guess the sidearm pitch is okay if used sparingly, but if you just keep throwing it, it gives you a little better chance and a little longer time to see the ball.
You certainly have to make a good pitch on it, and a lot of times when he drops down sidearm, he comes in fly with the ball, and that's bad.
The pitch is popped foul off to the right out of play by Manny Sanguian. So Bob Robertson, with three home runs at Candlestick Park, and Robbie had those home runs, not all consecutively. He hit his first one, then struck out, then hit two in a row. So he has four home runs in the series and three consecutive home runs. Manny Sanguian at the plate, strike two pitch. Fastball grounded slowly to third. On the run is Gallagher. He has to hurry and get it. Gallagher making a good play on Manny Sanguian, who, even though he is a catcher, runs pretty well. Until he's been around a while, then he'll slow down.
Yeah, after about 6 or 7 years of kneeling down behind home plate, he won't feel so spurt.
Your Ted Simmons of the Cardinals runs pretty well, doesn't he?
He runs good, probably a little better than the average catcher there, yes.
Jackie Hernandez, right-hand hitting shortstop, comes up. Two down, the Pirates are leading 1-0 here in the second inning. Marshall ready, a sidearmer outside, ball one, 1-0. Next one over for a strike. One ball and one strike to count to Jackie Hernandez. It is interesting to point out, it doesn't mean anything. We just pass it along for the fun of it and let you think about it. The team that has scored first and led has lost in the other two games. Here's the 1-1 pitch. Hernandez is the bouncer back to Marichal. He flips to McCovey in that shot. However, the Bucks get a run on a hit. A booming home run over the center field fence by Bob Robertson. And at the end of two innings, the Pirates won and the Giants nothing. Stadium in Pittsburgh, the Pirates leading the Giants 1-0 on a home run by Bob Robertson. Bob Johnson is on the mound, Bob Gibson right up here in the booth with us, and Juan Marichal walking up to the plate. He'll be followed by Kenny Henderson and Tito Fuentes. Marichal's a pretty good all-around athlete, which means he's a threat with the bat, right, Bob?
He's a good hitter. I've had problems with him in the years past, and you have to keep the ball away from him. He swings at bat.
Bob Johnson ready and delivers, and the breaking ball down and away. Ball one, 1-0. Marichal had 9 RBIs during the course of the regular year. The next one fouled back, and he had a big rip at that thing.
That ball was up and in, and he can hit that ball out of the ballpark.
Yeah, he came off the ground. 1-1 to count to one. Johnson into his windup, the 1-1 pitch, breaking ball fouled off, 1-2. Johnson, by the way, has struck out 3 men in 2 innings. His high for strikeouts in any single game this year was against the Giants. He struck out 12 Giants way back in April. However, it should also be added that he lost 2-0. Bob to the windup, and the 1-2 pitch, fastball drilled in, strike 3 called. Well, Marichal walks away. That's 4 strikeouts for Bob Johnson. And the batter will be Kenny Henderson, who grounded out in the first inning. Of course, old Johnson has to remember Steve Blass, who was striking out Giants here, there, and everywhere, and wasn't around in the sixth inning. Here's Henderson. He was fooled on an off-speed pitch in the first inning and rolled out to Dave Cash. Hedner plays him a step up inside the bag at first. Kenny's a pretty good bunter. Takes high, ball one.
I can answer that question because he keeps hitting the ball over the fence off of me.
1-0 to count. Henderson swings and misses, 1-1. In watching him against other pitchers on the Cardinals staff, do you think he's a better hitter, left-handed or right-handed?
I think he's definitely a better left-hand hitter.
Here's a 1-1 pitch to Henderson. He has a look at a strike, 1-2. Giants is taking a lot of strikes on Johnson. One ball, 2 strikes. 1 out, second inning. Pirates 1, Giants nothing. We've now moved to the third. Second inning home run by Robertson is the difference. Next one, fastball away. Ball 2.
Well, he's right around the plate. You know, I was thinking about Henderson being a good left-hand hitter. I would imagine that there are so many right-handed pitchers in the league that the switch hitters don't get to hit on the right side too often.
That's true. Maury Wills, much better hitter, average-wise, left-handed. The pitch to Henderson is high, ball 3. I know Wills, I'll bet you there was a 50-point difference between left and right. And as a left-hander, you also have the extra couple of steps to first base.
Our catcher, Ted Simmons, is a switch hitter. He hits something like 325 on the left side and about 250 on the right side.
Yeah. Here's a 3-2 pitch to Henderson, swung on and popped in the air on the left side. Going out for it is Hernandez, but he looks for help, and Stargell behind him makes the catch. And apparently there's a breeze up there that almost pushed that thing away from him. Two down, and Tito Fuentes is the batter. It's a shame to see a left-handed batter hit the ball in the air, really, when you think about Tartan Turf and the fact that he has the extra step to first base. He's really doing you a favor, unless he's a Stargell who hits 50 home runs.
Well, it's not that easy to hit anybody where you want, and he's probably doing the best he can.
Tito Fuentes takes outside, ball one.
I hate to see a little guy hit the ball in the air. Now, that's, a big guy can hit the ball out of the park, but chances are a little guy is not going to hit out very often.
Now, the 1-0 pitch to Fuentes, he pulls another ball in the air to Clemente in right field. Roberto just waiting and makes the catch. An easy inning for Johnson. 1-2-3, and at the end of 2.5 innings, Pirates 1, Giants nothing.
I still say we should have had a wedding cake like everybody else.
I think everybody enjoys a donut.
I know, Orchestra.
Orchestra wouldn't have fit in my Uncle's diner.
Okay. In a little while, we'll be in the post, you know. Our first night together.
Uh-oh.
What's the matter?
Yeah, we're out of gas.
Out of gas?
I don't understand it. I bought $2.
$2, Rush? With all the money we got today? Oh,
these days, a couple of bucks worth of gasoline doesn't seem to take you very far. But one will take you further than the rest. Getty Premium. At Getty, we sell only premium gasoline. Over 100 octane. But we sell it for a few cents less per gallon than most other major premiums. So at Getty, you get more gas for your money. And that means more miles for your money.
Gail. Why are you crying?
We're going to spend our first night together in a Studebaker.
We go to the bottom of the third inning with the Pirates leading 1-0. I'm Vin Scully along with Bob Gibson from Three Rivers Stadium. Bob Fuentes, who normally does not pull too many pitches, has hit 2 fly balls to right field. What does that make you think?
Well, that he's trying to pull, and you got to keep the ball away from this guy, and if he wants to hit the ball to right field, let him try to pull, and usually what he'll do if you keep it away will be pop up like he's done lately.
So actually then, if Wendy's has it in his mind to pull, he's really doing you a favor.
That's right. Anytime you find a small guy that tries to pull the ball and hit it out of the ballpark, then he really is doing you a favor.
That one home run, he hit a candlestick, which was a big blow, but it might come back to haunt him after all. Round of applause in the background for Bob Johnson. Pressed into service at the 11th hour, and he assists 3 innings and kept the Giants away. Not only that, he's leading thanks to Bob Robertson's home run. So it's 1-0 Pittsburgh. Johnson followed by Cash and then Hebner. Marischal standing on the first base side of the rubber. Right foot just about on the corner of it. Over the top he comes and it's waved out and missed 0-1. Why is it that you work from one corner? Is it an angle on a hitter or a habit or what?
I think it's just a habit. You learn to pitch there and you stay there.
The next one is in the dirt. 1-1 to count.
I've tried to move around on the rubber when I was having control problems, and I found out that it didn't help at all, moving around. It's just you have to learn how to pitch, period, and if it's comfortable to pitch on that side, then just stay there.
1-1 to count to Bob Johnson, big left-hand batter. He pops one up into shallow left field. Henderson has the play, and Kenny appears to have it all the way. Makes the catch for the out. 1 down, and the batter will be Dave Cash, the second baseman. When you get a new ball in play, Bob, is there any particular infielder you have to rub it up for you?
No, I really don't even bother with rubbing the ball up. It feels better when it's slick anyway. If I can control it, I just don't throw with a slick ball.
Here's Dave Cash. He flied to right in the first inning. In the old days, when Gil Hodges played first for the Dodgers, with those gigantic hands of his, he would take a new ball and with one twist age it immediately. Cash faced the bunt, faced the strike. 1-1.
It's hard to tell where the ball is going to go when it's slick, but I would rather throw it and and have it be hard to tell where it's going and somebody to knock it out of the park.
Mm-hmm. If it's the cash, a one-hopper banged at shortstop. Fire stays with it, guns him out. Still two down here in the third inning, and Richie Hebner coming. Down, third inning, Pirates one, Giants nothing. Roberto Clemente in the on-deck circle. The first pitch to Hebner way out in front of it and pops it foul. McCovey comes down to get it and makes the catch. So that off-speed pitch really fooled Hebner. He was swinging yesterday.
You know, I was thinking, our pitching staff struck Hebner out six times in a row the last series here in Pittsburgh.
Well, he apparently can get into that kind of a slump. And he was so far out in front that time, he was lucky to hit the ball at all and fouled out. So the Pirates are gone. And at the end of three, Pirates won, Giants nothing.
Say, Harry, you're looking very together today.
You like it, Bernie? It's one of our new Hickey Freeman suits. Notice the lapel,
yes.
The shape, the flair, and only the Field Brothers near you.
Harry, you're still our best salesman.
And a Bronzini Jack Hart shirt and a ribbed striped tie.
Unusual, but very sharp.
Hey, by the way, did you see what Brother Jerry wore to work today?
Huh. What did our dear partner, who is all business and no taste at all, wear to work today?
He's wearing what looks like his old college blazer and a washed-out Hawaiian tie.
He's so consistent, hopelessly consistent.
Well, I've been thinking, maybe we can embarrass him into buying some new clothes.
I get it.
After all, he may be the genius behind the scenes.
I know.
But what if one of our customers discovers he's really one of the Field Brothers?
That, let's hope, will never happen. And if it does, Harry, you're fired.
Bernie, Harry, and Jerry Field are the owners of the famous Field Brothers men's stores in Rego Park, Brooklyn, Roosevelt Field Shopping Center, and the new Woodbridge Shopping Center. Some of the best-dressed men around shop at Field Brothers, including two of the three Field Brothers. Right, Harry?
Right, Bernie.
We go to the fourth inning. Vince Kelly along with Bob Gibson. The Pirates leading the Giants 1-0, and Willie Mays at the plate. And Bob and I were talking a few minutes ago about rubbing up new balls and how Bob doesn't care if they're rubbed out at all. And, of course, any game ball is rubbed up by the plate umpire before the game starts. Willie Mays takes the strike. Lee Wire passed along information that baseballs in the National League before a game are rubbed up with New Jersey mud. Where the mud comes from in the state, what part of the state, we don't know, but how about that for trivia? New Jersey mud. In fact, whoever supplies it, one man in Jersey supplies it. He should go on Watch My Line. What do? I supply the mud they rub the balls with. 1-1 to Willie Mays, who struck out in the first inning. Johnson delivers, and Willie fouled it back. Looked like a slider, and he appeared to be guessing breaking ball. He really took a rip at that. 1-2.
You know, who cares where the mud comes from?
In case the subject comes up. 1-2 to count. Here comes Johnson, and as a ground ball hits the shortstop, up with it is Jackie Hernandez to throw him out. The Mays rolls out, one away, and here is Willie McCovey. McCovey loops a single in the second inning to left field. 1-1. The Pirates, one run, two hits. Bob Johnson pitching for them in place of Nelson Biles. And the only run, a straightaway center field blast by Bob Robertson, the first baseman. A modified load-up on the right side as McCovey takes high and in, ball one. Jackie Hernandez is almost directly behind second base. 1-0 the count to Willie McCovey. The 1-0 pitch to Will is swung on and missed. A vicious swing. Boy, he was going to hammer that thing into the water. 1-1. The shift on the right side. Of course, it was made famous by Lou Boudreau when he managed Cleveland and started the shift on Ted Williams. The 1-1 pitch to McCovey. Belted, but foul. That goes out of play way upstairs off first base. Boy, he's got a quick bat. Has he hit you much, Bob?
Over the years, I've gotten him out quite well. He has hit two or three home runs off of me, probably about four or five, but I've gotten him out the majority of the time.
1-2 to count to Willie McCovey. Johnson ready, delivers off speed and high. I don't know what that was.
I think it was a curveball that just hung.
2-2.
You know, we were talking about pitching at left-hand hitters, and you might not think it's a good idea, but a hanging curveball that's on the inside part of the plate is a good pitch to a left-hander because a lot of times he'll jam himself.
Here's a 2-2 pitch on the way. McCovey
fisted that one in the air off to the left, Van Gien, waiting for Hebner to come down, and Ritchie makes the catch for the out. We're far now for station identification. This is the National League Championship Series.
This is Dialogue Radio 57, Strauss Communications, WNCA, New York, the voice of New York.
Two down, Bobby Barnes at the plate. We might just finish up that idea of hanging a curveball because it sounds terrible. Now, it's just to go into it a little more.
Right. I meant that a right-handed pitcher can throw a hanging curveball to a left-handed hitter, but I wouldn't advise it the other way around because the hitter is usually pulling away.
Bobby Barnes takes the strike, 0-1. And when you say jam yourself, for the benefit of those who are just learning some of the words, jamming, of course, would mean a hitter gets hit on the fist. And if he jams himself, he just walks into the pitch, huh?
Yes, he leans out over a plate looking for the ball away.
Strike one pitch to Bobby Barnes. Off speed. Oh, and he got him out in front. The Giants, apparently, are hitting off Johnson's reputation. He throws hard, so they expect everything to come up there in a hurry.
I found out that I've had more success in a World Series or playoff game because of the scouting reports. They know that you throw hard, and when you go in there, they say, be careful, this guy really throws hard, and the majority of my strikeouts come off of a breaking ball.
Well, Johnson, meanwhile, has got Bobby Barnes in a hole, 0-2. He has struck out 4 in 3 2/3 innings. Bonds, of course, the type who can hurt you with one swing, and Bobby strikes out a lot anyway, so he's following a usual pattern. Johnson ready and delivers outside, and Van Gien was kind of hanging out there a little bit. Do hitters peek on the catchers?
I think they do. They look like they're looking down to see where their hands are or where their feet are, but I think they're peeking at the catcher.
1-2 to count. Here comes Johnson, and it's strike 3 called, and there's another Giant looking at a strike. And Barnes drops his bat, flings the helmet away. 5 strikeouts for Bob Johnson. And he looks like he's under a full head of steam now. He's retired the last 9 in a row. And at the end of 3.5 innings, Pirates 1, Giants nothing. Bottom of the 4th inning, the Pirates 1 run, 2 hits. The Giants no runs, 2 hits. Marichal getting ready. He'll be pitching to Roberto Clemente, Wilbur Stargell, and Al Oliver, the heart of the Pirate lineup. Relief specialist Jerry Johnson, with a windbreaker on, goes walking down to the Giant bullpen. He, of course, is indeed a short man. He'll come in late in the game if necessary, so he's just going down to the pen. Here's Clemente. Roberto went up the middle on Marichal in the first inning. Single, took second on a wild pitch and stayed there as Stargell slid out. So Clemente is 0-1. He had a fine year, hitting .341. The Pirates, who have hit Giant pitching well this year. Al Oliver had 15 hits, Van Gien had 16. Clemente takes outside. The Giants who hit well, Henderson had 17, 20 to 18. So those are the boys who did well against the other club. 1-0 the count to Roberto Clemente. Marichal, a high kick over the top and a breaking ball fouled away. 1-1. Now they tell us. This goes under the headline of Now They Tell Us. Remember we got that message about the mud from New Jersey? A couple of minutes have gone by and the message comes back in. The mud is not from New Jersey, it's from North Carolina. Well, 1-1. The count to Roberto Clemente. Marichal ready. A high kick and he delivers and it's fouled away. Off to the right out of play. 1-2. Marichal's work against Pittsburgh. He has not allowed more than one earned run in any of his 4 starts. And yet he's 1-1, so you know he's pitched tough luck against this club. Clemente's fooled, and down he goes. Would he have thrown a screwball to the right-hand batter?
Yes, he does. He'll throw his screwball to anybody, and it's a real effective pitch to a right-handed hitter, and I don't know why more guys don't do it.
Are you working on a screwball for the day when your fastball slows down?
No, the day when my fastball slows down, and I'll probably try to get me a job up in somebody's broadcasting booth.
Once you lose a yard off the fastball, you got to start looking for a chair. Here's Stargell. He flied to left field in the first inning. Wilbur is 0-10 in the series.
Swain squirts one off the end of the bat right back to Marshall or Sojanov. He hadn't had a good rip yet.
No, he hasn't. He's been keeping him off balance. You know, you're talking about pitches. I have been working on a knuckleball for the last 4 or 5 years. I threw one in a game last year to Hank Aaron. He just about tore my neck off, so I haven't thrown one since then.
By the way, you mentioned throwing your leg off. Wasn't it Clemente who finished you off 1 year?
Yes, in 67, he broke my leg with a line drive.
Al Oliver at the plate. Marshall checking into the windup and delivers. And Ollie takes outside ball one. Did it make you gun-shy for a little while, Bob?
No, it didn't bother me at all. Anytime a ball comes back through the box, you don't like that. But I don't think it would affect you like that.
Pitch fouled away. In the old days, the most feared hitter in the National League for going back through the middle was Ted Kozuski, because he was a sweep hitter with tremendous power. Carl Perillo of the Brooklyn Dodgers came up the middle very hard. Is there anybody in the league right now who comes back at you all the time?
No, not too often. I don't have many balls hit up the middle.
Here's a 1-1 pitch to Al Oliver. He swings at what might have been a screwball from up here in the count 1-2. Oliver leading the Pirates in hit against the Giants, who we mentioned was 16 during the regular season. Marshall checking. 1-2 the count. Juan ready, high kick over the top, and it's pulled on the ground to McCovey, who boxes it, kicks it, picks it up, feeds to Marshall for the out. Stretch was surrounding that one a little bit, but he finally kicked the life out of it and fed to Marshall. And that's it in the four. They're out of orders. So it means that Marshall's retired 8 in a row, and at the end of four, Pirates 1, Giants nothing. We got four in the books here at Three Rivers Stadium. Pirates leading the Giants 1-0. I'm Vin Scully along with Bob Gibson of the St. Louis Cardinals. And for the, in fact, that's ridiculous to say Bob Gibson of the St. Louis Cardinals. Everybody knows Bob Gibson. Dick Dietz, Alan Gallagher, and Chris Fire in that order against right-handed Bob Johnson. Dietz struck out in the second inning, 0-for-1. If you strike out Dick Dietz the first time up on a certain pitch, are you tempted to come right back with it? Is he the kind who could hit that same pitch out?
Well, it depends on the situation. He definitely can hit the ball out, but I might still come back with it.
The pitch is outside ball one, because I know you told us earlier, a fellow like Clemente might swing at a pitch, and you come back in that same spot, and you'll hit it out of the ballpark. 1-0 the count of Dickies. Johnson leading Sanguin, and Bob comes back inside and high, ball two. 2-0.
I don't think that a pitcher can go out there and say that I'm going to start this guy off with a curveball, come back with a slider, then throw him the fastball. I think it's a little more difficult than that, and you just don't have a system of getting a hitter out.
Here's a 2-0 pitch on the way, swung on and missed, 2-1. In other words, the following pitch is really based on the pitch that preceded it.
That's right, and where it was, its location.
2-1.
There are some hitters that you can throw 95 curveballs in a row, and you know that. You know who they are.
Here's a 2-1 pitch, a ground ball to shortstop. Hernandez gloves it at the right kneecap and throws him out. So deep goes easily, one away. Bob Johnson has retired 10 in a row. And the batter is Alan Gallagher. Gallagher hit into a force play in the second inning, 0-for-1.
Well, Vincent, it appears that Johnson may be pitching a better ball game than Wild would have.
Would he? Out if he did. What a story. Of course, we get back again to the day you broke your ankle taking batting practice ahead of a Dodger game, and then Chris Simmons went out and pitched a gem, and when it was all over, they said, well, he couldn't have lost any tougher game to Gibson than to Simmons. Pitch to Gallagher's strike, 0-1. Johnson delivers, fastball outside, 1-1. I know Dave Ricketts was with the Cardinals when Nelson Biles won the 19, and just to sum up the kind of year Nelly had, he said he was in trouble almost every inning every time he pitched.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the 1-1 pitch. Good one. Over for a strike, 1-2. Boy, the Giants are taking life. I think he must have them really bothered down there at the plate. They keep staring at the plate, and they're not angry at Wire's calls. It's just that he's hitting spots they're not expecting.
You know, a lot of times a pitcher will change his game plan the way he used to pitch guys, and that'll cause him to take a lot.
Here's a 1-2 pitch to Gallagher. Low and away, ball two. He threw that hard. Chris Fire on deck. Bob Johnson, Manny Sanguin. Robertson and Cash, Hernandez and Hebner, and the outfield Stargio, Oliver, and Clementi in right. 1-0 Pirates, fifth inning, one out. Home run by Bob Robertson so far, the difference. The 2-2 pitch, breaking ball, whacked into center field, and he didn't have too much on that, and Gallagher was able to wait and push it towards right center.
That was that hanging curveball we were talking about, only he threw it to the right-hand hitter instead of a left-hand.
Well, there's a base hit. That is only the third hit for the Giants. They brace the string. Comes with one out, and here is fire. The Giants, and they are not very much of a hit-and-run club, but they'll play a little hit-and-run with fire. Of course, they're behind by a run, and the pitcher's due up next, so all that has to be taken into consideration. Gallagher held on by Robertson. Johnson a look, and the pitch just fire, a strike. And he took it, and he went bigly wide to look at the ball, and Leo put a new one in. Does it bother you at all? Does it bother your temperament if the hitters start asking to look at the ball?
No, it doesn't. Usually they don't bother too much, but there are some hitters in the league that'll do it because they think it'll bother you, and they'll ask for two or three of them, then that'll make you angry.
Throw to first base, Gallagher back in under the tag. Wes Weston wants to walk over and maybe even talk to Gallagher, but Allen wants to brush off. They might not want Allen to take that far lead. Weston holds up one finger to remind him, one out. Allen, and he always kids me about this, but earlier, I think it was last year, I said that he was the most conservative base runner I've seen in the league for a regular. 0-1 the count. Now the pitch is fire, fouled away, 0-2. But in the games, and we have to qualify everything because we only know Gallagher from seeing him against the Dodgers. But against the Dodgers, he was taking the shortest lead of any Giant in the league and any player in the league.
That may be because he's not too quick.
Mm-hmm.
Quick to react, you mean? Just quick, period.
Uh-huh. 0-2 the count. Johnson delivers, and the pitch is hit in the air to right field. Clementi has to go back on the ball. The thing is over his head, and Roberto makes the catch for the out. Good play. That ball really carried. Allen Gallagher back to first base. I don't know whether Spire peaked on Sanguian or not, but Sanguian was hanging on that outside part of the plate, and boy, Spire really went with it and hit that thing a long way. Here comes Marischal. Two down. Gallagher at first, 1-0 Pittsburgh. See, that ball seemed to carry well, and of course, when you have an enclosed ballpark like this, you don't really get an idea whether there's much wind or not outside. Well, here comes Marischal. 1-0 Pittsburgh. Fifth inning, two outs. When these two clubs meet, you expect runs. You expect a 5-4 game or a 9-4 game as we had. So far, the pitchers are in command. 1-0 Pittsburgh, two out on the fifth. Johnson delivers, and Marischal takes way outside, 4-1. Robertson off the bag to holler something, and it might have been just to at least take a look over here because he's almost ignored Gallagher on the last few pitches. 1-0 count. Well, he might be like you, Bob. You mentioned your day that in certain spots you don't watch the runner too much. You're concentrating on the hitter. Marischal hits a slow ground ball. Hebner goes in front of Hernandez, feeds to Cash, and they get the force on Gallagher. Well, the Giants have gone in the fifth inning on a hit and at the end of 4.5. Pirates 1, Giants nothing. Bottom of the fifth inning, the Pirates leading the Giants 1-0, and the fellow with the run is Bob Robertson. He hit a home run. Now, this is a thing to talk about right now. Do you think that Marischal will brush him back just as a pitcher guessing before the inning?
Oh, no, I don't think that the home run would cause him to brush him back. He might brush him back because he's leaning over the plate, but I would imagine he's going to pitch him up and in anyway.
Here's the first pitch to Robertson, a strike, 0-1. Another thing, you have pitched in All-Star games and World Series games. Are you intimidated personally because of the fact that the game is a World Series game where you're not going to try and maybe knock a guy down? Robertson grounds one sharply to third, but Gallagher stays with it and throws him out. Maybe that's an unfair question.
No, I don't think that the game makes a difference at all. Whether you're pitching in a World Series or you're pitching in a regular season game, you have a certain way to pitch this guy, and if you know that brushing him back will get him out, then you're going to do it regardless of what kind of game it is.
So it's in the National League. There are a lot of knockdown games, but you rarely hear of a knockdown game in a World Series.
suppose because usually you don't know the hitters that well. And you just go by your scouting reports, and a few scouting reports will say, knock this guy down first, and then you can get him out after that.
Here's Manny Sanguin. He grounded the third in the second inning. Sanguin, right-hand hitting catcher, 0-for-1. Marichal has allowed two hits, but one of them a home run. That's a difference. Another foul outside of third, and the count 0-1. There has been a trade in the American League. The California Angels and the Cleveland Indians are the teams involved. We'll give you the players in a moment. Here's their strike one pitch. Sanguin popped it up with the end of the bat on the right side. Fuentes goes out calling as he has it, but Bond says he has it and drops the ball. And into second goes Sanguin. You know, the Giants have had several poor defensive plays. Fire and Fuentes bobbled a couple. Fuentes threw a ball that McCovey evidently lost and dropped. Now, on that play, Fuentes called for that as soon as the ball went up in the air.
Yes, he made a mistake, first of all, calling for that ball too soon. Anytime the outfielder can get that ball, you got to let him have it because he's coming in on it.
So the Giants give the Pirates a break, a pop fly that should have been caught. And boy, when Bob said he called for it too soon, Fuentes called for that ball as soon as almost as it left the bat. He gave it a face sign as if we were an umpire, telling everybody he had it. All right, Barnes is charged with the error since he dropped it. And here is Jackie Hernandez with one out. 1-0 Pirates. Another run could be very big in this one today. Marichal at the belt looks back at Sanguin. One over the top, and it's swung on and missed. Here are the players. Alex Johnson, who certainly got his share of publicity with the California Angels. Alex Johnson and catcher Jerry Moses go to the Cleveland Indians. Coming to the California Angels, veteran outfielder Vader Fenton, who, of course, for many years played with the Cincinnati Reds. Outfielder Frank Baker and ex-Dodger right-hand pitcher Alan Foster, who spent 1 year with Cleveland. Strike one pitch fouled away. Hernandez trying to go the other way to at least get Sanguin to third. Although if he just goes the other way, it'll be two out. Again, we'll repeat. Alex Johnson and Jerry Moses go from California to Cleveland for Veda Fenton, Frank Baker, and Alan Foster. Oh, and two the count. The pitch of the plate is waved at and missed. Hernandez badly fooled on it and strike out. I think Jackie was so intent and at least trying to go with the pitch that he thought he went down the drain with that one. So two out, and here comes Bob Johnson. Bob is a switch hitter, which, of course, a big case in point Bob came up about hitters hitting against the way they throw. For instance, Sandy Koufax was batting right-handed until they pointed out to him, hey, your left arm is your life and it's exposed. So then he went to hitting right-handed. He had to come across the plate. Now, Johnson, who is a right-hand pitcher, is hitting left-hand, so his right arm is exposed to Marichal. Have you ever thought about protecting your right arm and hitting right-handed?
Yes, as a matter of fact, when I was in school, I was a switch hitter. And all the way until I got into professional ball, I was a switch hitter. And once I found out that I wasn't going to play in the outfield any longer, then I turned around and stayed on my right side.
0-1 the count to Bob Johnson. Of course, for Koufax, the bad thing that happened to him hitting left-handed, he was jammed, and that began his hand troubles. At least it brought it forth. The third swung on a miss. 0-2. Johnson waiting, 0-2 the count. Two down, Manny Sanguin at second base on a two-base error. Mix up between Fuentes and Bonds, with Bonds dropping the ball. Marichal to the plate, and it's fouled away. It's still 0-2. In looking at Johnson's swing, he does not appear to be much of a threat with the bat, although I realize anybody up there is a threat.
Well, if he gets a hit, I'll be the most surprised person in his ballpark.
And you and Juan Marichal. 0-2 the count to Bob Johnson. Just see what he did during the year. He doesn't have a good swing anyway. Johnson, during the season, had three hits.
in 48 at-bats, so that's not much. Here comes a pitch, and it's in the dirt, all the way to the backstop. Down to third goes Sanguin, and that went right through Deese's leg. It's a wild pitch. I don't know. You know, maybe it's because I'm sitting here with a pitcher. But on a pitch that goes between the catcher's legs, I would think he should be able to block most of those.
Yeah, that's something that I just never could understand. You can understand when the ball goes off to either side, hits in front of him and bounces over his head. But I just can't, for the life of me, I can't understand how it would go directly between his legs.
1-2 to count to Bob Johnson. That's the second wild pitch in this game. Both of them charged to Marichal. Here's the 1-2 pitch on the way to Johnson. Swung on a missed strike here. It looked like maybe the screwball, and he hammered into the barn door with it. So that'll do it. Four strikeouts to Marichal. No runs, a two-base error, and a wild pitch, but it didn't cost anything. And at the end of five, Pirates won, Giants nothing. While we have a break in the action, we'll pause 30 seconds for this message.
In Harlem, the Dunbar Apartments were the first cooperative apartments built for black people. Completed in 1928 and named for the poet Paul Laurence Dunbar, it's the first large garden apartment built in Manhattan. Recently, it was designated a city landmark. I'm Paul Parker for the New York City Landmarks Preservation Commission, inviting you to get a free guide to all the city's landmarks at the Visitors Bureau, 90 East 42nd Street in Manhattan.
We go to the sixth inning at Three River Stadium. Vin Scully along with Bob Gibson. The Pirates leading the Giants 1-0. Henderson, Fuentes, and Mays in that order. And Kenny has a rip and doesn't get it, 0-1. He grounded out and flied to left. Bob and I both noticed a little while ago a little byplay between Tito Fuentes and John McNamara. And Fuentes apparently rolling that top left hand over, meaning he's pulling the ball a lot. There's a one hopper smacked into center, a base hit for Henderson. And as Bob pointed out, anytime you can get Fuentes to want to pull, you figure to get him. So now here he comes with a runner at first, and we'll see what Tito does, and we'll see how Johnson pitches him, Bob.
Well, the man on first, he might be trying to pull the ball now if he doesn't bunt.
Henderson at first, very good base runner and a very good base stealer. Well, he's certainly not going with nobody out unless it's part of a hit-and-run play. But Henderson has stolen 18 bases in 20 tries. Kenny held on by Robertson. Johnson a look over there. Now comes to Fuentes, who runs to bunt for the pitch outside and high. Ball one. Then dropped by Sanguin for good measure. 1-0. In your book on people, does Johnson have a good move to first, or average move, probably?
I don't know too much about his move at all.
What about Nelson Bryles?
Bryles has a real good move for a right-hander. Mm. Extremely good.
And Marichal, of course, is a pretty good one, huh?
Yes.
In fact, Maury Wilson, Marichal is one of the toughest guys in the league to steal on, and I assume that's coming from somebody who knows. Bob Deal and Bob Miller are throwing back a Bob Johnson. And Fuentes wants to talk to John McNamara. In the first game, we found out later. Remember when Bobby Bonds came up and I was saying, gee, I would think he'd bunt, and you say no, and then he struck out? We found out later he was supposed to bunt. He blew the sign. So Fuentes went down to check to McNamara. Are signs that tough to remember?
No, a lot of times the third base coach won't be real clear and definite with him, and you just don't know what he's given.
1-0 to count, but aren't you supposed to, well, maybe you're not, aren't you supposed to answer, yes, I've got the sign all the time?
No, you don't.
Only on a squeeze play.
1-0 the count of Tito Pointer. There goes Henderson, and the bunt is made. Good bunt. It gets Hebner in. He has to throw the catch. He threw it away. And here comes Henderson to score. Pointer takes a look at second and holds on. Big play. Hebner drawing an error. He threw it behind Dave Cash. It was a run and bunt play. Henderson was off and running. And there's a big play to tie it up. Put a tie-breaking run at second. Nobody out. And Mays, McCovey, and Barnes coming up. So Henderson singled up the middle. He is sacrificed to second. Goes all the way on the throwing error by Hebner. And here's Mays. If Hebner hadn't thrown that ball away, they had a chance for a double play because Henderson was going to third all the way. Here comes Mays, struck out and grounded out. He'll try to, he's going to run and bunt and fouled it away, 0-1. How many times have we seen Mays sacrifice in his career? Let's see, Willie Mays. Sacrifice hit, one. So he has sacrificed once this year in 164, counting two championship games. And he ran up to bunt that time. Of course, when you're running up to bunt, he's probably just trying to push one for a hit. What is his second? Nobody out. Big throwing error by Richie Hebner to allow a run to come over. Mays and McCovey on deck. Johnson set. Strike one pitch. Mays runs to bunt. Takes high. Boy, he has everybody on the move when he does. 1-1. First of all, he has Hernandez breaking to the bag to try and tie up Plenty. He has Robertson charging the plate and Cash angling over to cover first. One ball and one strike to Willie Mays. Johnson hands at the belt. Mays around to bunt and does. Out to get it is Sandine. He holds Plenty's and throws out Mays at first. Report to station identification. This is the National League Championship Series.
This is Dialogue Radio 57, Strauss Communications, WNCA, New York, the voice of New York.
One away, and Willie McCovey at the plate. A strange play, only in the sense that it is Mays. How many times Mays has tried to sacrifice, we don't know. But you can bet he doesn't have much experience in it. And they had him sacrificing, and he failed. So they lose a big bat. Now they walk McCovey, and they'll get Bonds in a moment. Four wide ones coming to Willie. So a single, a sacrifice, a throwing error, then a bunt for an out. And in a moment, the Giants will have runners at first and second with one away, and Bobby Bonds coming up. I guess it's just because I've seen Willie Mays play ever since he came into the league, but to see Mays bunt is a... It just is a bad thing for me to see. I can't remember too often where I would see him try to drag or lay a bunt down for a hit. I remember doing a World Series game in 56, and Roy Campanella had suffered a hand injury in the spring, and he came up against the Yankees early in a game and bunted. And I was saying, gee whiz, I haven't seen Campanella bunt in his career. Roy, by the way, is here. And late in the game, Campanella came up, and now I'm going to do a little experting. And I said, if you remember, back in the third inning, Campanella was bunting, and there's and he hit the ball up on top of the roof. So we'll see Mays next trip. Runners at first and second, one out, and here's Bobby Bonds. He singled and struck out. It's a big inning for the Giants and for Marshall. They get ahead, and Juan gets tougher and tougher. Beal and Miller throwing in the Pirates turn, and Sanguin, he's a visitor. He's going back out to the mound again. Johnson looks like he didn't want to see him, Bob.
I can't imagine what he's going out there for. He's probably telling him something that he knew already. He's telling him that he's in trouble. He knows he's in trouble. You got to get this ball over. He knows that.
That's like the story Al Shaq used to tell us. He joined a new ball club and was there the first day and was called in a base-loaded situation. And the manager said to him, now you're in trouble. And Shaq said, I'm in trouble. I haven't even met half the guys on this team. So Sandine and Johnson have had their visits. All right, Bonds at the plate. Two on, one out. Sixth inning, a run over, a 1-1 tie. Johnson at the belt. Bob delivers. Inside with a breaking ball. Ball one.
And there goes Sanguian, and he made an angry gesture that he didn't like the way Johnson made the pitch.
Well, I don't imagine he went out there and told him to throw a hanging curveball, but that's exactly what it was. Maybe the manager is sending him out there and is thinking about bringing in somebody else. I don't know. With him only pitching a few innings, maybe this is about as long as he can go.
Yeah, Sanguian is really staying on him. Of course, we don't know Bob Johnson. He might be one of those fellows who is too relaxed, and Sanguian might be trying to pump him up and get him a little angry. But as soon as that pitch was made, Sanguian made that side-on gesture just to say, throw the ball. Well, it's out as one ball and no strikes to Bobby Bonds. 20 to second, McCovey at first, one out. 1-1 tie in the sixth. Johnson ready, here he comes. Fastball outside, ball two. Johnson came very close to getting into a big mess of trouble in the second inning. First two men came up with base hits. And he came within a ball of loading deep
for the bases loaded.
And he eventually struck deep out. He's flirting with dynamite here with Bonds. Here's a 2-0 pitch to Bobby. A strike on the outside corner taken. 2-1. Tell me a little bit about Lee Wire. Bob, all of us have traits. Does Wire have a trait as a plate umpire? Does he give you the outside corner more than anybody else, for instance?
No, usually he makes you throw the ball on a good part of the plate. One thing he does, he'll call a pitch before it gets to the plate, and the hitter can hear that.
That's discouraging. Here's a 2-1 pitch to Bobby Bond. One on and miss, thank you. 2-2. Bobby Bonds back up there. One out. 20 is at second. McCovey at first. Bonds wearing a kind of a girdle up there. His left side heavily taped and strapped because he has pulled muscles on the rib cage. So he's not 100% at the plate. 2-2 pitch. In the dirt. Backhanded by Sanguian. Well, it's kind of a big decision, I guess. And then again, maybe not. There are two on, one out. 3-2 to Bonds, who strikes out a lot. If you're managing, you don't have the runners going, or do you?
No, he strikes out a little bit too much.
All right, so Bobby at the plate. He heaves a big sigh. His shoulders went up, and then he dropped them down. Batters at second. McCovey at first. One out. A full count to Bonds. Johnson ready, and first of all, let's see what the runners do.
Cash takes to the bag, and Johnson backs off the rubber.
Bob Johnson, a last-minute starter for Nelson Bryce, who had a bad right leg and found out it was worse than he thought. He couldn't start. And Johnson has done very well up to here. And an error has really hurt him. 3-2. He checks the runners do not go. And the pitch is going on and missed. Strike three. If you're wondering why Charlie Fox did not have the runners going, Bobby Bonds has struck out almost 140 times in 600 at-bats. So he leads the Giants in a strikeout. There was a pretty good chance that the runners would stay held. Now here's Dick Deese with two outs.
Then, you know, we were talking about what the catcher tells the pitcher when he goes out there. I can remember a time when I was pitching against the Giants and Willie Mays was batting with the bases loaded. And the manager came out and told me I'm going to have to strike this guy out.
Yeah, great advice. The pitch to Deets, a strike, 0-1. Boy, the Giants taking pitches. That's why I wondered about whether Wire was giving the outside corner more than he normally did or just why. Deets back up there. Johnson has struck out a half a dozen. He got Deets with two on in the second inning, and he's trying to get in with two on in the sixth. It's a 1-1 tie. Strike one pitch. Just outside, 1-1. Apparently, that's his method of attack. He's staying away all day.
Yeah, I can probably understand why he was a little bit disturbed with Sanguin. Possibly he was wanting him to come inside with the ball, and he didn't want to.
Ah. 1-1 the count to Dick Deese. Two outs. Johnson ready. 1-1 pitch is just outside, and Sanguin's angry. He thought he had a strike. 2-1. Manny muttering walks halfway out to the mound. He has his mask on, but just by looking at him, you know his mouth is flapping. 2-1 to count.
I'm angry, too. I want that pitch.
Every pitcher in the park wanted that one. 2-1 to count to Dick Deese.
Alan Gallagher on deck. A 1-1 tie with two out in the sixth inning. Twenty's at second. McCarthy at first. Two out. 2-1 pitch. Deep swings and misses, and he looked like he was a little ahead of that. He was guessing.
I think that might have been a slider or something. It wasn't quite as hard as those other pitches.
Yeah, Deep had to be guessing fastball. Well, he's hurting now. Two balls and two strikes. On this kind of a pitch, 2-2, the pressure would appear to be on the hitter, 3-2 on the pitcher.
Yes.
Johnson ready, here he comes. High, ball three, and one of the few times he really came inside, but it was above the eyes. Full count, two down, runners going. Do you think Deese is even thinking location right now, or just trying to hit the ball?
He might be thinking home run. Most of the guys that can hit the ball out of park are thinking home run. And if you throw him a breaking ball right now, he'd probably strike out.
Here comes Johnson, and the pitch is high, ball four to load him up. And Johnson apparently thought he had that one. So Johnson walked 6 deep, so the bases are loaded with two down, and Alan Gallagher the batter. And one thing, he stayed with his fastball. He was a little leery, I guess, at hanging something there.
You know, sometimes when I'm out there pitching and an umpire calls the ball that I thought was a strike, I have a urge to go in and pull his mask up and punch it right in the nose.
It might have been that Johnson was that angry, and I'm sure all competitors get that way, and the umpires understand. For a while, they'll give you a little bit of time to blow off steam. Here's Gallagher, base loaded, two out, and Johnson's going to go out of a stretch. He might lose a little something in speed, but I guess he feels he's better off control-wise. Fastball is hit foul into the seats at first base. Well, you sure have the word on Gallagher. I remember the first time he came up at Candlestick, and you were saying how he likes to go to right field. And boy, he's been rearing the people out down the right field line all series long. Money's at third, McCovey is second, Deese at first. Two out, a run over in the sixth. A 1-1 tie. Johnson out of his stretch. Strike one pitch. Pass one low. One ball, one strike. On deck, Chris Fryer. Gallagher bends at the knees and waist. He's up from the knob a little bit. One and one to Allen. Next one outside, ball two, and now Johnson is hurting a bit. He's in a spot where he's just got to throw strikes. And there goes Sandine, paying him another visit. He's probably saying, Bob, you've got to throw strikes.
Exactly. Bob's saying, yes, I know it.
Yeah, thanks a lot for television. Johnson up on top, shot at the belt. 2-1 pitch is popped in the air, foul off first base. It'll be out of play. They're into the crowd. Van Gien and Robertson over to take a look.
We were talking about trips through the mound, the catcher going through the mound, the manager's going through the mound, and a lot of times people want to know, what are you talking about? What does the manager say when he comes out there? And many times it comes out, he'll say, if you don't get this next guy out, I'm going to take you out of the ball game.
And I know, although I can't say many players, but there are players who go to the mound just because out of nerves they have to do something to break the spell for a moment. Will told me about that. Van Gien might just be a nervous guy who has to move around a lot. 2-2 to Alan Gallagher. Johnson, in a big inning for him now, delivers. Gallagher takes just low. He is only missing by this much, but of course you can hang by that much. So a full count, two down, the runners will be going. And this, do you think this pitch might decide Johnson's future? If it's ball four or base hit, he's on the very edge of coming out, I guess.
All right, I'm almost positive if he doesn't get this guy out, they're going to bring somebody else in. You can't afford to give up too many runs in these kind of games, especially against Marischal.
Full count. Gallagher waiting. Johnson heaves a sigh, reading Sandine, now out of his stretch. Gallagher waiting. Runners go, and the pitch is a bouncer over the mound, down to Hernandez. He's up with it and throws him out. And the pressure is over for Johnson. The Giants wind up with only one run, one hit, one error, three left, and at the end of 5.5 innings, a 1-1 tie. Bottom of the sixth inning, a 1-1 tie. Dave Cash, Richie Hebner, and Roberto Clemente. A run, four hits, and an error for the Giants. A run, two hits, and an error for the Pirates. And Cash starting it off. Matt Johnson had to make some really gutty pitches there in the sixth inning. An error almost undid his work, but he got out of it even. So now they're back 1-1 in the sixth inning. Marshall, a high kick and delivers and gets a strike. 1-1. Cash flied to right, grounded to short. He hit the ball to right through pretty hard. Marshall comes back to him 0-1, and Dave takes low and away. 1-1. Cash hitting 289. Pretty good hitter, huh, Bob?
Right. Strange the way Marshall is pitching him. He's pitching him away. I don't like to pitch him away. But we were talking before, and each one of us has a different way of getting a guy out. A
little dipper in there, high breaking ball for a strike, 1-2. Of course, now the Marischal fastball doesn't rank at all with the Gibson fastball, so that's probably one of the reasons.
1-2 to sound to Dave Cash.
Richie Hebner waiting his turn, and then Roberto Clemente. A 1-1 tie in the sixth inning. Marshall, big high kick over the top, and as a one-hopper hits slowly to Gallagher, Allen fields it and throws him out. So Cash caps the third, one away. The last Pirate hit was the home run by Bob Robertson. One out in the sixth inning, and here is Richie Hebner. Hebner struck out and fouled out 0 for 2. And, of course, there are always some boo-birds in any crowd, and a few of them got on Hebner briefly for the throwing error on the bunt by Putty.
Yeah, strange thing about fans. They expect perfection in everyone else but themselves.
The pitch to Richie Hebner is low, ball one. I think it was Jim Bishop who once wrote it, and I've always remembered it. And he said, only a saint wants justice. The rest of us want mercy. Here's the 1-0 pitch to Richie Hebner. Whacked a one-hop two in the right field base hit. So Hebner stifled a few boo-birds with a base hit to right. And that's the first hit for the Pirates since the second inning home run by Bob Robertson. And it'll bring out Roberto Clemente. The Giants have one run, four hits. One run, three hits. Clemente single up the middle and struck out. He's 1 for 2. Would you think that if he has a chance, Clemente would try to go to right field in this spot?
He's got a normal right field swing anyway. I was just wondering if he would be bunting.
Bunting with one out.
Bunting for a hit, you mean?
Yeah, straight
yeah. Bunting.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. Alan Gallagher playing deep at third, so he could be vulnerable for that. And Marshall, in his very delivery, falls off the mound towards first base. Clemente hitting 341, 1 for 2 today. Hebner short lead at first. He's barely off the bag. The pitch outside and high, ball one, 1-0.
Didn't appear to be bunting.
Roberto backs out and keeps looking at Frank Ocey at the curve. There might be a play in the works. Well, we saw Mays bunt today, so anything can happen. 1-0 to count.
Well, possibly he would walk Sargill anyway. I don't know if he didn't get a base hit.
1-0 to count to Roberto Clemente. Marshall, a look at Hebner, comes low, ball two.
Say one thing, Hebner is barely off the bag at first, so if they have any kind of a play on, he's sure not giving it away by his lead.
2-0 to count.
That's one thing I never could understand. When a pitcher's pitching a pretty tough ball game, why the opposition never tries to bunt on him at all. I don't know if they're respecting his fielding ability or they're just being stubborn.
Throw to first finally. I've always been surprised. Nobody tried to bunt, for instance, on Herb Wilhelm. He's 48 years old, and he pitched in 100-degree weather, and nobody would ever try to get him off the mound. Here's the 2-0 pitch to Panetti. One on and miss, 2-1. I would think in St. Louis, on a dog day, 100-some-odd, and the Astros are boiling, and you are pitching your heart out and getting by in a close game, I figure you just have to be bunted on. Maybe you throw on your fire trying to pick one of them up. Well, I don't even bother to throw warm-up pitches on those hot days, and that should give you a clue that I don't want to move too much around there. 2-1, the count to Clemente. Marshall looks at Hebner with that little lead. Now the 2-1 pitch to a ground ball down to second. But it struggles. Wilson has no play. Respect you to say hit the ball hard enough for an easy double play. The other is back to hit it hard enough for Fuentes to start to juggle it. And Tito was in such a hurry to start stretching, he wound up with nothing but an error. So there's a giant mistake just as the top fly that was dropped. Down in the bullpen, Don McMahon gets up, back of Marichal. And here is Stargell, who is still looking for his first hit. First and second, one out. So the inning might have been over on that ball that was picked by Fuentes, and the Pirates have been given a big chance with a big hitter. Marshall delivers a strike. Richie Hebner at second base. Roberto Clemente at first. One out, bottom of the sixth, a 1-1 tie. It was Bob Johnson on the griddle in the top half. Juan Marichal throwing behind the runner to McCovey, or he would have bought. Boy, that was great control when he realized there wasn't anybody. Do you think maybe he's pressing for a veteran to do that? I got to figure he isn't quite aware of the situation. I don't know what he's thinking. I've done that several times where I was thinking that the first baseman was holding a guy on and he wasn't there, and I had to turn around and throw wherever he is. Strike one for us is outside. But, of course, in this spot, there's no way the first baseman is holding him on with a runner at second. So I think Marshall, at least for a split second, did not quite know the situation.
Yeah, it happens a lot of times where you just have a mental lapse out there, and you just really, you aren't on top of everything,
especially when you're pitching to somebody like a Stargell. 1-1 the count. Marshall checking. Still checking. Here comes to Wilbur. One on and miss, strike two. And by this time, Stargell, I don't care how cool and good-humored and relaxed he is normally, he's got to be a little angry and he's got to be pressing. He's 0 for 2 today. Stargell is 0 for 11. He has not had a sit in the series. And, of course, he's in another big spot. Clemente, a very big lead. Hebner short at second. Here's the 1-2 pitch to Stargell. Marshall deals outside. 4-2. McMahon has stopped throwing in the Giants' hand. Now Jerry Johnson is throwing. One tie, bottom of the sixth, one out. Stargell waiting, two balls and two strikes. Hebner and Clemente taking the lead. Juan at the belt, checking. Right-hander ready. Kicks and delivers, and it's swung on and missed, strike three. In the mystery in Pittsburgh, what's wrong with Stargell? The Wilbur's 0 for 3, 0 for 12 in the championship. Two down, and here is Al Oliver. Actually, if you wanted to think that the Clemente ball was a double play ball, now Stargell makes out. Marshall is really being asked to get five outs in the inning. Oliver hits back to Marichal in the second inning, hits to McCovey, who fed Marichal in the fourth. Left-hand hitting center fielder. Clemente taking a tremendous lead with a runner at second who does not run too well. You wonder why he's so far. He's not moving McCovey with a left-hand hitter up. Willie's deep and guarding the line. And now Oliver, tired of waiting, backs out. Oliver back up to the plate. With Oliver up there, the whole right side of D-20's is out on the rug in shallow right field. Marichal delivers as Taper goes by the mound and misses outside ball one. That could have been an asset for him as the paper went by his feet to distract the hitter. And, of course, for Marichal to pitch with a little gust of wind, that was a touch of home for him. One ready. Checking, and the 1-0 pitch to Oliver. Screwball miss, ball two. On deck, Bob Robertson, who has been a one-man gang so far for Pittsburgh.
There's one thing about this Pittsburgh lineup. You're never really out of trouble until you get down to the eighth or ninth man.
Yeah, there's a good hitter all the time, just about. Marshall at the belt. The 2-0 pitch to Al Oliver is a ground ball deep to first to McCovey. He feeds Marichal covering, and he's out of the inning. And for Juan, it should be pointed out, he has not walked a batter in six innings, so he's right on his game. No runs, one hit, an error, two left. And at the end of six, Giants won, Pirates won. As we go to the seventh inning, Vin Scully along with Bob Gibson from Three Rivers Stadium in Pittsburgh. Fine ball game. Bob Johnson, who was dropped in at the start when Nelson Bryles was unable to answer the bell, and Juan Marichal, and they're all locked up at one apiece. The Giants, one run, four hits, two errors. The Pirates, one run, three hits, and one error. The Giants will have Chris Spire, Juan Marichal, and then Kenny Henderson. In the regular season, by the way, the Giants made 179 errors. The Pirates, only 131. So the Pirates would figure to be the better team defensively. Johnson delivers, and Spire rolls one to short. Hernandez on the run, throws low, but it's scooped out by Robertson, one away. Luke Walker, young left-hander, throwing in the Pirate bullpen. He might be just getting in some work. Walker, a starter, a long man. When they want a spot left-hander, they usually use Bob Beal. It should also be pointed out, in a tie, Johnson is due to bat fourth in the seventh inning. And as a thinking hitter, they're giving Walker plenty of time to warm up. Here's Juan Marichal. One out in the seventh inning, a 1-1 tie. Marichal, right-hand batter. Juan is struck out, hit into a force play, takes low, ball one, 1-0. The Pirates got their run in the second inning. Bob Robertson hit a line drive over the center field fence 410 feet away. Marichal bailing out as Johnson leaned by way of third and got a strike over in the count 1-1. And the Giant run in the sixth inning, a single, a sacrifice, and on the sacrifice, a throwing error by Richie Hebner, allowing Henderson to score. Marichal takes another strike in the count 1-2. All of the Giants have been looking at a strike called on the outside part of the plate. Here's the 1-2 pitch. Swung on, fouled, and spins out of Mantanguian's glove, so it's still 1-2. Kenny Henderson on deck. It is amazing, with all of the strikes called on the Giants on the outside part of the plate, that more of them aren't jammed, that they would start leaning over and then Johnson would come in on the hand.
Well, there's one pitch that'll keep you from leaning over that plate, and I'm quite sure that's what they're thinking about.
1-2 to count to Marichal. Johnson delivers, missed away, ball two. 2-2. He has not varied the pattern much. He has basically kept the ball away. 2-2 to Marichal. Pitch is fouled back out of play. 2-2. If the Giants lose this ball game, and if they come up a run short, they might go back to that sixth inning and mutter. They had a big chance, and they had Mays bunt, and it didn't work. And, of course, remember they had a big chance Sunday and had Duffy bunt, and it didn't work. Marichal pulls one on the ground to Hernandez. Jack loves it. Marichal running the 90, and he's thrown out. We'll pause for station identification. This is the National League Championship Series.
This is Dialogue Radio 57, Strauss Communications, WNCA, New York, the voice of New York.
Kenny Jimmy Henderson coming up. Two down, seventh inning, a 1-1 tie. Henderson grounded out, slide to left, single to center, and worked his way around to score the only Giant run. Hebner plays him up a step inside the bag at third. Johnson delivers, outside and high, ball one. I wonder if it's hard for Johnson. He's made so many pitches to right-hand batters. Henderson takes a strike. He's made so many pitches outside to right-hand batters. I wonder if he suddenly finds it hard to throw outside to a left-hander. It does work that way. I can throw a ball outside to a bolter, to a left-hander pretty easily, but when I want to come in that same spot to the right-hander, I can't do it because I'm used to pitching him away. It works that way. I guess you're throwing against your habit there, as he was. The 2-1 pitch, a strike. 2-2, and Henderson's a little annoyed. 2-2 to count. Of course, you know, we all have a tendency to say the hitter's a little annoyed, back out. It's going to be a rare day in June where the hitter's going to turn to the plate umpire on a strike and say, great call. So he just backed out. 2-2. Robertson deep at first, guarding the line against an extra base hit. And the 2-2 pitch is taken, strike three called. Boy, the Giants are taking Johnson right down to the end, and they're paying the bill. That's the seventh strikeout for Bob. And at the end of 6.5 innings, a 1-1 tie. We go to the bottom of the seventh inning, a 1-1 tie. Juan Marichal and Bob Johnson. Vin Scully along with Bob Gibson sending it to you. Noticing a couple of banners here at Three Rivers. Most of them in right field. One says the great one, 21. And, of course, that's Roberto Clemente. There's another sign that reads, Roberto Clemente doesn't miss any. There's another saying, go Bucks. Still another, out box the Fox, beat 'em Bucks. And, of course, that box would be Charlie. And there's a banner we see now draped over the balcony and left. And that's a go Bucks sign. Bob Robertson will start it off. Robertson homered to give him three consecutive home runs, two from Sunday, and four home runs in his last five at-bats. And last time up, he grounded out. Marshall takes off his cap, turns it back on home plate for a moment. And Bob Robertson will be checking into the plate. I haven't had a lot of problems with Robertson when I pitched to him, but watching him over his last two or three days, I might be a little nervous the next time.
That's right. That's the bill you're going to pay for looking at him at those home runs.
But luckily, you got the winner to forget about it. Marshall ready. Low kick, which means a sidearmer. Swung on and missed. 0-1. Juan Marshall and Bob Johnson. We told you that Johnson's spot is due up fourth. And if they hit, they've got the man ready. Dave Justy is now throwing, and he's the number one relief man. Strike one pitch outside, one ball, one strike. I'll say one thing. Bob Johnson has done a sensational job for a guy who didn't figure to pitch. And was suddenly forced to go to the mound in the first inning when Nelson Viles could not even start. Johnson sees his leadoff man Robertson pop up to Tito Fuentes. And Tito makes the catch to the out, so one away, and Manny Sanguin will be the batter. Johnson's name had never come up. In fact, the only time Johnson had thrown a ball at all, he threw in the bullpen early back of Steve Blass in the first game. But boy, he's the man of the hour in Pittsburgh. And he's pitching a great ball game against the toughest customer, Juan Marichal. Manny Sanguin grounded out and hit the fly ball to right field at Bobby Bonds' drop. A little more complicated than that. That was when Tito Fuentes called for it right away and then found out he had called too soon. Marichal's pitch outside and high. Ball one. Juan cocks his head at Lee Wire. As if say, I thought that was in there. 1-0. Sanguin hits one by the mound down to second base. Up with it is Tito to throw him out. So Manny's gone. Two away. And the batter is Jackie Hernandez. Hernandez hit back to the box and struck out, 0 for 2. In fact, and he's not really knocking Jack, but at the same time, you can't hide it. When Bob was talking about
good hitter at the plate all the time for the Pirates. Jack would be the weakest hitter in the lineup. He is barely hitting 200, 206, but he brings a great glove out there to shortstop. He's really the only breathing spot you have in the first eight. What were you telling us? He's a pretty good fastball hitter, huh? Yeah, I think, but I did say that he didn't like the ball to be too hard, but that's his best shot is fastball. Yeah, at 206, you don't really like any pitch to be too anything. You would rather a guy walk you. 1-0, the guy is Jackie Hernandez. Jacinto Hernandez, he's from Cuba. He makes his home in Miami. The 1-0 pitch, little low, ball two. 2-0, the count to Jackie Hernandez. Jussie throwing in the bullpen. Bob Johnson kneeling in the on-deck circle. Now the 2-0 pitch on the way. Marshall deals and it's swung on and missed for a strike. 2-1. This is certainly in the trivia department, but I notice the on-deck circles here are barely out of the dugout. You really don't have to go very far to get on deck at Three Rivers Stadium. Most ballparks, the on-deck circle is at least halfway to home plate.
Yeah, I think in Chicago, it's entirely too close. In Chicago and Montreal, if the foul tip comes off, it's got to get you between the eyes.
Pitch fouled away and it counts 2-2. Does it bother you at all, Bob, on a hot day because the rule states you must get out there in the on-deck circle?
No, not really. You're only out there for a couple of seconds. You're kneeling down. It doesn't bother that much.
Of course, Leo tried to beat that. He would put supposedly a pinch hitter out there for his pitcher. And the umpires had to let him get away with it because who's to say the guy wasn't going to pinch hit?
If anybody's going to get around, then Leo will.
Yeah, that's the thing. 2-2, the count to number two, Jackie Hernandez. Two out in the seventh, a 1-1 tie. Marshall ready, low kick, sidearmer outside, ball three. If they want to beat that loophole, they would make the pinch hitter kneel alongside the pitcher then. That way you got everything covered. But there's no problem here. Full count to Jackie Hernandez. Marshall trying to get him and end the inning. 3-2 pitch to Jack. Sidearmer, half swing foul, and the bat goes out to the mound and is picked up by one. 3-2 the count. You ever been hit by a bat?
No, I haven't. I can remember in the World Series in 1964 against the Yankees, a bat was flung out and I jumped and I was over at about 2 feet when it went right over the mound, right over the top.
What about a broken bat? Any piece of it ever come close?
No.
A friend of yours really got hit one time with a broken bat, Larry Jackson. 3-2 pitch on the way. Popped in the air foul off to the right of the plate. Coming over his feet, he almost goes into the dugout and makes the catch for the out. That's a comforting thing here. You can go right into the dugout without falling down into a dugout. So Hernandez fouls out, the Bucks are gone in order, and at the end of seven, a 1-1 tie. Vin Scully and Bob Gibson visiting with you from Three Rivers Stadium in Pittsburgh. We go to the eighth in a fine ballgame, a 1-1 tie, and the paid attendance, 38,322. Tito Fuentes, switch hitting second baseman, starts it off. He'll be followed by Willie Mays and then Willie McCulley. Bob Johnson checking and Tito at the plate. Johnson to the windup and delivers, and he swings and misses just Tito 0-1. Twice flied to right. Sacrificed in the sixth inning. And that's when Hebner threw the ball away for the only giant run. He tries to poke one and slashes it foul into the crowd off third base. 0-2. Well, Tito's trying to quiet that top left hand so he wouldn't pull the ball so much. 0-2. Johnson ready and delivers, and he pulls a ground ball to the hole over to plug it up his cast. Close play, and he just did get him. Right there was Andy Olson to call it. Tito thought he had to play beaten. One away, and Willie Mays the batter. Mays struck out in the first inning, grounded to short in the fourth, and bunted in the sixth. He was thrown out. Fuentes, who was at second base, could not advance on the bunt, so Willie was charged with a time at bat. Otherwise, he would have been sacrificing.
Bob Miller and Luke Walker are throwing in the Pirate bullpen. Mays takes in the dirt, ball one. Mays can still thump him. He hit one out Sunday at Candlestick. Here's the 1-1 pitch to Mays. High pop foul off to the left of the plate, and that should go back into the crowd out of play. That's one of the few times that Johnson came in a little bit on a hitter in quite a while, especially somebody of the stature of Mays.
In the late innings like this, I don't think that'd be a good idea for the mere fact that you know that these big hitters like Mays and McCovey are going to go up there and try to hit the ball out of park and win it. And I wouldn't come in at all at this time of the game.
1-1 to count to Mays. Johnson ready and delivers, and there's a ground ball to the hole on the left side, through into left field, base hit. Mays a turn and a holding, and Johnson now has his hands full. Not only must he contend with Mays, who likes to steal a base and still can, but he has to look down the gun barrel of Willie McCovey. And Bobby Bonds on deck. And the crowd gets a little restless. There's just no place to put Willie, and that's a tough spot. He singled in the second inning, popped up in the fourth, but in the sixth inning with a man on, they walked him intentionally. Mays held on by Bob Robertson. Mays takes his lead to pitch to McCovey, far back, 0-1. Mays this year, despite the fact he's playing the back nine in baseball, he has stolen 23 bases and been caught only three. Mays retreating, but eyes riveted on Johnson. Now he takes a bigger lead as Johnson goes set at the belt and delivers. McCovey takes a little high. 1-1. Johnson's roughest inning was the sixth, and he got out of it allowing only a run. He had a very tough second inning when the first two men had base hits, and he got out of that. So it's 1-1, eighth inning, one out. Johnson ready, delivers, and it's inside, under the hands, ball two, 2-1. Well, he is tempting these hitters, Bob. He got the ball inside to Mays, and Willie finally singles, and he's been trying to crowd McCovey. Now, that's a high wire act in a windstorm. It's a very difficult way to pitch. McCovey waiting, 2-1. Johnson, hands at the belt, comes to McCovey on the hands, and is a fly ball to right field. He didn't get enough of it, and Clementi will catch it for the out. I'm wrong again. No, not wrong. He just had a little more than we thought. It was dangerous when you realize McCovey could hit the ball in on the handle that far. You realize just how close Johnson came to giving up two runs. Two down. Here's Bobby Bonds.
I've broken McCovey's bat. Coming inside, and he's hit the ball out of the ballpark on me.
People can't believe that, I'm sure. He broke his bat and hit a home run. Here's Bobby Bonds. Now you got to watch out for Mays trying to steal. This is a spot for it. If he's thinking steal, he'll be trying to go. Johnson is. He turns and throws to first immediately. Mays taking his lead. Bobby Bonds waiting. Johnson at the belt. Turns, and he drives Mays back. Of course, among other things, he's probably doing to Mays what most pitchers do to Will. He's at that age where they just keep running him to tire him out. Johnson watching Mays again. He doesn't go. Bonds takes in the dirt. Ball one. Throw to first, and Mays just did get back. Roy Sanguin hurried that thing to Robertson. Now, Willie just did get to the bag. 1-0 to count. Bobby Bonds singled and struck out twice. Dick Deese on deck. Bob Johnson has struck out seven. He looks at Mays, and the pitch to Bonds swung on and missed. 1-1. Bobby backed out and kind of tilted to the right. I think he at least felt something, a twinge, or even the corset that he's wearing might have been biting a little on the left side. 1-1 to count to Bobby Bonds. Mays again, pretty good lead.
Johnson watching him. He doesn't go, and Bond is way outside, ball two, 2-1. The rear pitch out is a breaking ball pitch out, isn't it?
Yes, and that may have been a pitch out right there.
That's what made me think about it. See, you don't see too many breaking ball pitch outs, but if you have a super catcher, I guess you see once in a while.
Yes, and most pitchers don't have that good control.
2-1 to count. The pitch to Bond, swung on and missed, strike two. Steve Blass comes out and picks out some wind-blown papers from in front of the Pirate dugout. He'll be doing more than that tomorrow. He figures to go up against Gaylord Perry in the fourth game tomorrow. Mays has a good lead, 2-2 to Bond. Johnson checks, and there he goes. The pitch is low, the throw on a bounce, not in time. And Mays immediately asking for time to get his cap. Willie has stolen his 24th. Second base umpire Dick Stello had to jump over the throw. So Mays steals. It certainly figured he was going to try. Full count to Bobby Bonds.
If the umpire had to jump over that throw there, would that be any indication he's in the wrong place?
Well, maybe the throw is. 3-2 to Bobby Bonds. Mays taking the lead. He wants to move the infield around and try and open up a hole for Bonds. He wants somebody to come after him, and the only man who'll fake is Cash. 3-2 pitch to Bonds. Low ball four. So Bonds goes to first. Mays to second. Deets coming up. With two out, I guess you'd rather pitch to Bonds, wouldn't you, in the sense you can strike him out a lot easier than Deets?
Yes, I was just thinking that. Of course, I guess that's the difference in the two pitchers. I don't know if he walked him on purpose or not, but I certainly rather be pitching to Bond than Deets in this situation.
Now, Deets today came up with two on and nobody out in the second inning and struck out. And he came up with two on in the sixth inning and walked. He came up in the first inning of Sunday's game with a base loaded and struck out. So Dick, in the number six spot in the lineup, has found a lot of giant runners on the base pad, but he has not been hitting particularly well at all. In fact, that's an understatement. I forgot. He is 0 for 2 today. He doesn't have a hit in the series. He takes ball one. Dick Deets is 0 for 10, and many of his at-bats have come with men on base. Dick did not hit well against the Pirates. He hit under 230 against them during the year. The pitch to Deets, very high. That time, the pitch was almost over Deets' head for ball two. And Don Osborne, the pitching coach, goes out to the mound. I'll say one thing. The Pirates could not have asked more from Bob Johnson than what he's given them today.
He's done a terrific job under the circumstances, and he's still probably throwing the ball pretty good, but at this point, I don't think you're gonna want to take too many chances, and I would imagine they're going to bring somebody else in.
Well, they have Bob Miller, the right-hander, left-hander Luke Walker, and they also have Dave Justy, and suddenly Justy takes the ball away from Luke Walker and begins to throw. Osborne might be just taking some time. We have a break in the action. We'll pause 30 seconds for this message.
Fifth Precinct.
The stage is set here at Three Rivers. Willie Mays at second base. Bobby Bonds at first. Two out in the eighth inning. A 1-1 tie. Two balls and no strikes to Dick Deets. And after a lengthy meeting, they're staying with Johnson. Bob delivers. Deets squirts one. A two-hopper down to Cash. He feeds Hernandez, and the inning is over. So there are two fellas in this series who are hurting their clubs with the bat. Will Vestargo, who is a roadblock for the Pirates, and Dick Deets, who cannot come up with a timely hit for the Giants. No runs, one hit, and two left. And at the end of 7.5 innings, Giants won, Pirates won. Bottom of the eighth inning, a 1-1 tie. The Giants 1-run, 5 hits, 2 errors. Pirates 1-run, 3 hits, 1 error. Vic Davalio will be coming up to bat for Bob Johnson. And, of course, you were a teammate of Vic, so you know all about him, Bob.
Yes, Vic is a first ball, fastball hitter. He can pull a ball. He can hit it out of ballpark. He's real fast. He's apt to bunt. So You just don't know how to play him right now.
Why is it he's not playing regularly? He can do all this. Is he a bad fielder?
No, he's not. It's just that they got a couple of other guys there hitting 300 and driving in 100 runs. It's kind of tough to crack the lineup.
All right, Vic Dalileo, one of the outstanding pinch hitters in the game. He set a record as a pinch hitter when he was Bob Gibson's teammate in St. Louis. Oddly enough, in setting the record, he had to break the record formerly held by his manager at the time, Red Chaney. Dalileo has had one at-bat in the championship. He came up with two on in a big spot against Perry and might have had a base hit to tie up the game. He had a high bouncer over the mound, and Perry leaped in the air and got his fingertips on it, slowed it down for a footage to turn it into a force play. So Dalileo, left-hand batter, hitting 285 with a home run, 33 RBIs, an outstanding pinch hitter at the plate. Marshall delivers a strike, turned it over, got it in the outside part in the count 0-1. Dave Justy, the number one Pirate reliever, getting ready to pitch to the Giants in the ninth. 0-1 to Dalileo. Strike one pitch. Waved at and missed. Strike two.
That's interesting. The pitches that he's thrown, Dalileo, I'm not considered a change-up pitcher, but the last two times I got him out, both were with change-ups.
And Dalileo was wide open on that last swing. His right shoulder came out of there almost before the pitch got up to the plate. Here's a strike two pitch to Vic. Outside, ball one, 1-2. And that was kind of a showcase fastball just to let him know that Marshall can still throw it. Jerry Johnson gets up down in the Giant bullpen. John Cumberland joins in. The pitch to Dalileo. Swung on and missed strike three. He doesn't strike out too often, so Marshall still has plenty left. One away. Dave Cash, the batter. A half a dozen strikeouts for Marichal. Cash has slid to right, grounded to short, grounded to third. So Dave is 0 for 3. He fouls one away, 0-1. Cash came into today's game with five hits in the preceding two, and Marichal has wrapped him up. In fact, Cash was 5 for 10 until today. Takes high, one ball, one strike. Dave Justy will make his second appearance in this championship series. He'll be pitching the ninth inning. He is due to pitch to Alan Gallagher, Chris Spier, and Juan Marichal. 1-1 pitch on the way. Fouled away, 1-2. Scored in the second inning. The Giants scored in the sixth. They're now in the bottom of the eighth, all locked up, 1-1. Marichal checking deep. Here's a 1-2 pitch on the way to Cash. He grounds it down to short. Fire up with the ball. Fires to McCovey in time for the out. So Dave Cash draws some blanks 0 for 4. And with two out, Richie Hebner, the batter. Hebner is struck out, fouled out, singled, and his throwing error gave the Giants their only run. So Richie has figured prominently in the game up here. Marichal has allowed one hit since the home run in the second inning. That's all. And he's allowed only three hits in the game. So as usual, he has risen to the occasion. The pitch to Richie Hebner, outside, ball one. Bob Robertson, you can't say enough for the job he did. Nelson Biles had a pulled hamstring, thought he was all right, went to the bullpen to start warming up for the game and couldn't make it. The 1-0 pitch to Hebner, ground ball foul outside of first, and he broke his bat, 1-1. I think, I'm only guessing that time, that was a screwball inside, and that Hebner cracked the bat with it. So he has to get another stick. Richie has disappeared into the Pirate dugout. The paid attendance, 38,322. That is far below capacity. You know, last year when the Pirates were in it, in the championship. They did not fill their stadium. And the management felt it was because the game was televised locally. So this year, the game was blacked out in the Pittsburgh area for a radius of 50 miles or so, but they have still missed. The pitch is a strike on the outside corner, 1-2. One and two to Richie Hebner. Two out in the eighth inning, a 1-1 tie. Marshall leans on his knees, looks for a sign. Now Warren straightens up and goes to his windup. Here's the 1-2 pitch to Hebner, swung on and foul back. You can always tell when the Giants are in a pennant race. There are a group of Spanish-speaking broadcasters who suddenly come upon the scene. They come to broadcast the ball game, particularly and only when Marichal is pitching, to the Dominican Republic. So Juan's a big man back home, and they're here naturally today. The 1-2 screwball is a drive to right field. Back goes Vaughn. Go way back to the wall. It's gone. Taking a 2-1 lead. And number 2-1 is coming up right now, Roberto Clemente. So the Bucks have two runs on home runs by Bob Robertson in the second inning, Richie Hebner in the eighth. And the Pirates lead 2-1 and confetti falling in right field. It looks like a little snowstorm out there as Marichal delivers outside. Ball one to Clemente. The heat will be on the Giants now. They'll be coming to the ninth inning trailing 2-1. Marichal's 1-0 pitch to Clemente is fouled away. One and one to counter Roberto Clemente. So Marichal, who had given up 27 home runs this year, has given up two today. And it's just enough to beat him. He's down 2-1 in the eighth inning. So Juan has allowed 29 home runs. Let's pause the station identification. This is the National League Championship Series.
This is Dialogue Radio 57, Strauss Communications, WNCA New York, the voice of New York.
The pitch to Clemente is poked on the ground to Fuentes. Tito up with it and throws him out. But the damage has been done. The Pirates a run on ahead. A home run by Hebner. And at the end of eight, Pirates 2, Giants 1.
He's on your side. He's on your side. He's on your side. He's on your side.
Yes, the man in blue is on your side, and he has a tough job to do for all of us. You know the scene, so won't you help him along? Cooperate with the New York City police officer in your neighborhood.
Ninth inning at Three River Stadium, Vin Scully, along with Bob Gibson, and the Pirates are leading the Giants 2-1. Dave Justy, 5-6. Dave saved 30 games up here, including Sunday's victory. And Justy will be pitching to Jim Hart, who is first up. Hart will bat for Aaron Gallagher. This broadcast and all during the National League, and thanks to the National League, will be sent
on American Forces Radio, over 400 stations around the world, in Europe, the Middle East, all of Latin America, the Caribbean, covering Alaska, Greenland, Iceland, Arctic, and Antarctic, all the Pacific bases, the Philippines, Korea, Japan, Thailand, Vietnam, by three methods, shortwave, voice cable, and voice satellite to Europe. And, Bob, you've got some plans, haven't you, to go to the Philippines?
That's right. As soon as the World Series is over, I'm going to the Philippines, Guam, Okinawa, and Japan.
Well, you'll meet a lot of the folks then who have been listening to the ball game. Here is Jim Hart batting for Alan Gallagher, and the Giants are down. The Pirates 2, Giants 1 in the ninth. Fastball, fouled away on 1. Bob, what's the way to pitch to Hart?
Jim Hart is another one of those hitters that likes to get the ball up and away from him. He's very strong. If you can get it down away, you're all right, but I like to come in on him.
The strike one pitch is in the dirt. One ball, one strike. Dave Jesse, right-hander, who first came on the scene with Houston. He came out of Syracuse University. He was a teammate of yours.
Jesse, yes.
1-1 pitch on the way. It is a line drive into left center field. Stargell goes to the track and makes the catch. He didn't fool him, but Hart hit a shot right at Wilbur Stargell. One away, and here is Chris Fire.
You know, Dave would get that terrific palm ball, and you would think, though, that the hitters would go up there and look for it and they'd do well, but that's not the case. The ball, it really fools you every time because it looks like he's going to throw it through the catcher, and you're really not sure whether he's going to throw a fastball or not.
Well, here's Chris Fire, and he's got to make those decisions right now. Jesse delivers, and it's lifted to right center field and deep. Clemente going back and makes the catch. On the message board, it says, beat him, Buck, beat him, Buck. They've got one out to go before they can beat him. And standing with his foot in the door is the big kid, Dave Kingman, who will come up and bat for Marischal. Tomorrow, Gaylord Perry figures to go for the Giants and Steve Blass for the Pirates. They were paired against each other in the opening game, won by Perry and the Giants 5-4. And if Kingman can't do it today, the Giants will then be fighting for their lives tomorrow. Here's the first pitch to Kingman. Swung on and missed. Boy, he came in on him. He challenged him. Good letter-high fastball on the hand. Kingman backed out for a moment. Two down, ninth inning. Pirates 2, Giants 1. On home runs by Robertson and Hebner. Strike one pitch to Kingman. In there, strike two. Dave Jesse standing in the sunshine. Dave Kingman in the shadows at home plate. 0-2 the count. The crowd ready to let out a roar. Strike two pitch. Low and away, ball one. The Giants can go back to the second inning when they had two on and nobody out. They can go to the sixth inning when they had a runner at second and nobody out and a run over and had made bunts. Here's the 1-2 pitch. On the hand, popped in the air, foul. Robertson, the first baseman, is there. He's got it. Out to Bob Robertson, and the Pirates have beaten the Giants 2-1. We'll be back.